The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
All right, today is Thursday, August 22nd. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, many residents around Bala Cynwyd were shocked to find out that there's a homeless encampment above the Cynwyd Heritage Trail and the Schuylkill River. According to Lower Merion Township Police, 25-year-old Romeo Gagliardi attacked another homeless man with a machete, striking him several times in the head and ribs. Gagliardi is homeless and currently living above the trail. I actually saw the police activity on the way in the other morning.
Have you ever
so,
seen that?
So, day before yesterday, I'm driving down Belmont. So, we're, you know, this is Bala. This is our area that you're talking about. And you know where the CVS is at the bottom of the hill?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, so to the left of the CVS, to the right is the trail.
Yeah.
Okay. And I just see a pair of legs just hanging.
Saw the guy?
I don't know if it was him or not, but I just saw a pair of legs, somebody laying, stretched out.
Was it Tuesday morning?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what, because I, they must
but
have
there was
seen...
no, there was no police activity or anything like that. So I think it was just somebody sleeping.
Okay.
But from my point of view, I could just see his legs and maybe part of his torso, and I'm like, oh, is that like a jogger who just got tired, is laying down? And it had to have been some of this homeless activity that's going on.
How big is the encampment?
To camp out.
You know, I don't know. But when I drove by on Tuesday, I saw all the police activity. I'm like, something happened here. And I didn't know, I kind of was like looking around as I passed by, and I didn't hear anything in the news until this morning about it. Yeah. So this guy was arraigned Wednesday and is being charged with aggravated assault, terroristic threats, possessing an instrument of crime, simple assault, recklessly endangering another person, and harassment. He's being held on $25,000 bail and has a preliminary hearing set for August 28th. Now, Aaron Cavanaugh said that he was allegedly attacked by this guy on the trail at 4:30 on Tuesday. He was treated on the scene by officials and was taken to Lankenau Hospital for further treatment. His wife said that she called 911 when she saw the gashes. Cavanaugh said that the attack happened over an argument over a campfire. Now, police have been working with the township's Public Works Department to remove abandoned tents and belongings, and they are working to get the homeless the help that they need to find housing. So they've gone in and said that they have to leave. This is pretty common on places like this. There's
is
one,
it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So there's another one. You guys know my mom works at a homeless shelter, and there's like a wooded area across the street from like a library out that way. And she said they all go in there. There's tents everywhere, and that's where
you got to watch that stuff. There was a guy who was actually living down, you know, the 100 steps in Wissahickon.
Yeah.
There was like an overhang, a stone overhang, and he was kind of living a la Rambo, you know, in that area, and they got him out of there. But I used to be amazed when you'd go around, I forget exactly where it was, but it was right off of 676 in the city. There's a large...
under the overpass?
Right.
You'd
see them all there.
Yeah, I see just kind of a... I never see people under there, but you can see the remnants. You can
there's
see the
stuff.
Leftovers.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
The place. I know exactly where you're talking about. Yeah.
Police are advising that if you walk or run on the trail, that you go with a friend for safety, and the trail opens dusk until dawn. But yeah, apparently there's a bunch of homeless people that have their tents set up, and they're living back there, but they are working to try to remove them and get them some help. Two female police officers whose sexual harassment lawsuit led to Philadelphia police commissioners to resign has received promises from the city that they won't be retaliated against or endure more transfers while the case plays out. Corporal Audra McCowan and Patrol Officer Jennifer Allen say their complaints of being physically and verbally harassed by supervisors and colleagues were ignored for years. McGowan accuses outgoing Commissioner Richard Ross of failing to help because she broke off a romantic an affair that she was having with him in 2011. Ross, in his first public comments on Wednesday, denied any retaliation. The women in a lawsuit filed Monday say that since raising gender and race-based complaints, they have been assigned rotating shift work, given undesirable jobs, harassed over efforts to pump breast milk, and suffered stress-related medical problems. A court hearing is set for Wednesday to address their concerns was canceled when the city agreed to stop transfers. However, at the moment, both of the officers are out on medical leave, their lawyer said. They didn't want to be in those jobs, but we filed the motion so they wouldn't be moved again, lawyer Ian Bryson said. A priest is accused of stealing close to $100,000 from the Downingtown Parish, the Chester County district attorney's office said.
You're not supposed to do that.
Yeah. No, you're not.
I'm not Catholic, but I don't think you're
supposed
to.
No, okay.
I don't think that's what you're supposed to do.
Hey, and I am Catholic, and I still don't think it's okay.
Yeah.
Father Joseph McLoone was arrested Wednesday for the theft of $98,405.50 from St. Joe's Catholic Church.
He took 50 cents.
He took 50 cents. The 56-year-old took over as pastor of
It's like Daffy Duck with the gold coin rolling away from the huge pile, Preston, and running after it. You got to get everything.
So he took over as St. Joseph's Parish following the removal of Monsignor William Lynn due to Lynn's indictment and incarceration. Officials say...
Are you serious?
Uh-huh.
This
uh-huh.
was the replacement
yep,
guy?
Yep, he was the replacement.
Yeah, sure. I'll do it.
The officials said that McLoone accomplished the theft by diverting parish funds into a secret account, misappropriating fees charged to parishioners, and other fraudulent activity. He's accused of using the money to fund his personal lifestyle, which the DA says included a vacation home in Ocean City, travel, dining, and spending on adult men with whom he maintained sexual relationships.
Yikes. Nice Lambo, Padre.
The DA says that McLoone gave him a pay raise, gave himself a pay raise by doubling the amount he collected as a stipend for each mass, wedding, and funeral held at St. Joseph's Parish. The Archdiocese of Philadelphia said they became aware of the secret account last year and began their own investigation into the matter. So this guy is being charged with theft by unlawful taking and related offenses. His bail was set at $50,000 unsecured.
Steve, what would Duplantis have to say about that? That is just,
that's just
horrible.
Criminal activity. It's not in the Bible. This is the kind of man who flies regular aircraft Coach. With other people. He doesn't understand what the Lord really wants.
Yeah.
And what is that?
To stay away from people.
I thought maybe it was a private jet.
Yeah.
All right, let's do sports this morning.
Ball sacks are yummy.
Bryce Harper's two-run home run propelled the Phillies to a 5-2 win over the Boston Red Sox last night at Fenway.
They did it!
Harper's homer in the fifth inning turned a 2-1 deficit into a 3-2 lead, and Corey Dickerson drove in two runs with a triple and a single to help the Phils sweep the two-game interleague series. Jared Hughes earned the win with a hitless inning and a third of relief after Drew Smyly lasted just three and two-thirds innings, allowing two runs and five hits with three walks while striking out four. Hector Neris pitched for the ninth for his 23rd save. And the Phils are off today before opening up a weekend series in South Florida against the Marlins tomorrow night. The Eagles have their third preseason game at home tonight against the Baltimore Ravens. Kickoff at the Link is scheduled for 7:30. And that's what I have for you this morning.
Thanks a whole lot, Kathy. We welcome you to yet another edition of the Preston and Steve Show. And happy to be on board. We have some stuff going on today, as we try to always do. So we had this breaking news announcement yesterday, late in the show, that our friend Kate Flannery is going to be on Dancing with the Stars.
Yes, this is so cool.
And so Kate's going to give us a call early this morning, actually, around 7:15, so we're going to talk to her. But I think this is the closest friend we've ever had on that show before, right? We've known people.
Well, our new best friend, John Schneider, was on it. So yeah.
True.
Yeah. There have actually been a few. I was going through the list of it because they have some controversy with this cast that I'm sure you'll get into later on, but... There've been a number of people that may have passed through our not a friend like Kate.
Kate's
is
a buddy,
yeah.
You know, so
that we could call and say, "Hey, call us tomorrow.
Yep,
we want to talk to you about it."
Yep. So I'm excited for her. Hopefully, she'll last. And
we've got to make her last. Yeah, we've got to throw out. Listen, I don't watch this show, but we have to throw every bit of fan support we can, because it'd be so cool if she took it all.
Yeah, I think we have to all watch the show now, right?
Absolutely.
I will.
As long as she's on.
Yeah.
I definitely will. So, Kate, we'll talk to her in the 7 o'clock hour. We also have a comedian, Ian Edwards, who's stopping by performing at Helium Comedy Club tonight and then through the weekend. And our buddy Giuseppe from Lorenzo's is stopping by. They have an announcement to make.
Lorenzo's has been mentioned a couple times this week.
It has, yeah. I actually saw Joe this morning. He's my neighbor.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. So I saw him pulling out a Wawa. I'm like, what the hell is he doing?
Is he going to make pizza?
So I call him. He's coming here. He was going to make pizza to bring it here for us this morning. I'm like, oh, yeah.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah,
so. I wonder what their annual cardboard budget is over there at Lorenzo's.
Well, you know, I talked to him. I'm sure you have about this as well. Preston, about getting their own company that simply makes the boxes.
Really?
Yeah, because at a certain point, It would be more cost effective to do that.
Yeah, they got
to
integrate vertically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We'll talk about what they got going a little bit later on this morning. And I'm sure we got loads of stuff to give away and all that good material. So we'll take a break, come back in a second. I'll have a stupid question all set to go and some entertainment stories to roll out to you. So don't go far. We're going to be back in a moment.
Not only can you hear Preston and Steve, you can see them too. Check out the Weekly Rush on Xfinity On Demand. New episodes, you guessed it, weekly.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Hey, good news. The Daily Rush video for the Preston and Steve Belly Flop Championship is now up and available for your viewing pleasure.
Wow. Oh, nice. It took a lot of work for them to put that together.
I would imagine, yeah. We had, it was a great event, and we had a flop-off challenge that lasted a little ways, and our finals had to go in like four or five times, and their bodies were just beat red from doing that many belly flops. But the video is now up. And you can watch it at PrestonandSteve.com, and it's sponsored by Punchline Philly Comedy Club Restaurant and Bar. We haven't even seen it yet, so.
No, just little snippets.
Yep, I'm excited to go take a look at the full video because Nick Murphy and his crew do awesome camera work. They have GoPros mounted in the bottom of the pool.
Yeah.
They've got cameras from the front and back, and they just do great coverage. So if you want to check that out, it is now up and running. So I have a stupid question, and if you can answer it correctly, we'll give you a pair of tickets. It's MMR Rock's Zac Brown Band coming up Saturday, the 7th of September, BB&T Pavilion. Question I have for you this morning is, which country chose the thistle as its national flower? 215-263-WMMR.
I never knew thistle was a flower.
Yeah, which country chose the thistle as a national, as its national
flower? I always thought of the thistle as being a little pointed and barbed,
yeah,
correct?
Yeah, correct. And in fact, I have a little thistle trivia for
really?
You.
Really?
Yeah. Velcro fasteners were inspired by the thistle. They were inspired by the burrs of the burdock thistle.
Why don't you stop thinking about this?
There's a line in the movie The King's Speech where he gives him a tongue twister about thistles. I'm a thistle sifter. I sifle thistles and blah, 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 blah. And it goes on and on about thistles. So thistle is top of mind for me. Let's see if you can get an answer. And don't worry about the moose.
Why don't you forget the moose for a moment?
We had a moose moment last night. Anyway,
oh, really?
I'll tell you about that later, maybe. We're going to do the stupid. We already did the.
Damn it. I know. I almost interrupted you, but you hate me when I do that, so I didn't.
I had a different.
What?
I had a different stupid question. We'll save it for tomorrow because it has to do with Target, and I was going to see.
How,
yeah, exactly. I was going to see where how deep Kathy's knowledge of the brand goes.
Oh, yes.
So we'll do that tomorrow.
All right, okay.
All right, so. I have some birthdays to go through. Today being Thursday, August 22nd. It's Kristen Wiig's birthday today. She's 46 years old. I absolutely love her. When she was here in the studio, I had a little bit of a crush on her.
She's awesome.
She's so funny and talented, and she's cute. And
she's in the new Wonder Woman movie.
Yeah.
She's playing Cheetah.
Yeah.
And she also has this new comedy out with, is it Emma Thompson?
Kate Blanchett.
Oh, is that Bernadette or something like that?
Yeah, where'd you go, Bernadette? Okay. Are we having the writer and director in for that?
No, that's a different movie.
Okay.
But just love Kristen Wiig.
And she just got married, by the way. She was, proposed. The guy, she was dating the guy from the Struts?
What?
No. Strokes?
Strokes. Yeah.
One of the
Stroke
guys.
Or Strokes.
Different right. Strokes?
Yeah, for different folks.
Yeah, she's 46 years old today, and she's maybe her last name will be Drummond. I don't know.
Yeah, who knows?
Different Strokes. So happy birthday. All right, we also have Vernon Reed, guitarist for Living Color, and they played the Camp Out for Hunger a few years ago, and we just sat there with our jaws on the floor watching these guys play.
We should take this song, re-edit the spoken part out of the beginning, and put in the Moose passage.
You're right.
Would that be great? Stop and think about that.
Why don't you forget the Moose for a moment?
It'd be great. All right,
let's try
it. Can you re-edit that?
Yeah. You know, I can't.
Put a little more processing on it.
By the way,
Bruce, if you could put a little more EQ on, I don't know if you can do that.
By the way, does anyone know, I've never bothered to research it, at the beginning of Cult of Personality, you know, what I want to do is sit down and talk in a language where everyone can easily understand. Anybody know who that is?
I don't.
Or what politician that might have been?
Is that...
We want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Why don't you forget the Moose for a moment?
I was thinking initially that it might have been somebody like Malcolm X, but it doesn't sound like Malcolm X.
No.
It sounds like Malcolm Jamal Warner.
No, Steve, you're right.
Wait, am I right?
That's Malcolm X.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Well done, Steve. Let's hear, Case, can you reset that?
I already did.
Let's hear it again, yeah.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
I guess I've gotten so used to Denzel's voice from the movie as Malcolm X that I didn't even think that that was him. Wow.
That happens occasionally when there's a performance that's so like electrifying that you, like, you know, for me, pretty much Ben Kingsley is Mahatma Gandhi.
Right.
The way it goes.
Wow, interesting. Well, you learn stuff when you listen to the Preston and Steve show. Vernon Reed.
Why don't you stop thinking about the Moose?
Happy 61st birthday. Singer-songwriter Tori Amos is 56 years old today.
I like Tori Amos.
Yeah,
does she have any happy songs?
Yeah, she does. She has Who Let the Dogs Out.
No.
Who let the canines run free?
She sits side saddle on the piano bench, right?
Yeah, she kind of, faces the audience when she plays.
That was one of the first concerts I went to. I think Debbie Gibson was the very first. She may have been like second.
Pretty
or
much
third.
The same thing.
Yeah, you hung a 180.
What was
Electric Youth?
It was Debbie Gibson, Amy Grant, because my mom's like, see, it's so nice to sing about Jesus.
Yeah.
And then Tori Amos.
Wow, she listened to Tori Amos?
Yes, she did.
Right. Were you into that whole sort of, there was like a Lilith Fair vibe for a while with Sarah McLachlan on?
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, 56 today. David Chase, creator of Sopranos. He's 74.
Doing the prequel movie to it.
Well, today, that's true. Yep.
Tony Soprano's in high school.
I mean, it's Tony Soprano's. I mean, it's Gandolfini's son playing young Tony Soprano.
Oh, wow. Nice. Okay. Then you have Cindy Williams, who has visited our studio not that long ago. Shirley of Laverne and Shirley, Shirley Feeney.
That was one of my favorite days. Her and Dede Khan in the studio.
Oh, man.
I love
so fun.
Both of them. But Cindy Williams and Penny Marshall, you know.
They're great.
People can dismiss it as one of the great TV comedy pairings.
72 years old today. Steve Croft, correspondent for 60 Minutes, is 74 today. And then the last birthday I saw is Rodrigo Santoro, the actor. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. In Love Actually, he's the really hunky guy, right?
Yeah.
That Laura Linney.
Yeah, and he's also the guy that showed up on Lost for like three episodes that everybody was like, what the hell is this storyline?
Oh,
and
then right.
In 300, he was Xerxes, right?
Yeah.
He was the main nemesis.
They have him, he's filmed in such a way to suggest that he's
like
super
tall. 8 feet
tall.
Yeah. And he's also in Westworld. He is 44 years old today. All right, we'll see if somebody knows the answer to this. Which country chose the thistle as its national flower? Thistle's just fun to say.
Thistle.
215-263-WMMR is the number, and I am going to go to Matt. Hey, Matt, good morning.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good, Matt. Do you know the answer, what country we're talking about?
I'm going to go with Scotland.
Scotland's correct.
Home of the thistle.
Yes, it is. The home of the thistle in Scotland.
I'm a thistle sifter. I have a sieve of sifted thistles and a sieve of unsifted thistles because I'm a thistle sifter.
there you go. It's easily said. So Matt got it right, and we are going to give him a pair of tickets as MMR Rock's Zach Brown Band on Saturday, September 7th, BB&T Pavilion, and some tickets for both shows of their both of their shows remain, and September 6th and 7th are still available. Ticketmaster.com.
Okay. Not to digress for a second here, Preston, but the winner of the world of thistles. Sometimes when you go into the woods, there are a particular plants that have these little barbed balls that will always stick to your clothing.
Yeah, they're burrs. Yeah.
So they are?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is that the plant is named?
No, that's
the plant that generates the burrs.
That's what you end up with. I don't know, but...
Yeah. They can stick all over you.
Well, that's the burr. That's a mascot of West Catholic. The girls...
The Raven Burrs.
Well, no, they were called the Burrs.
Oh, really?
Yeah, whenever they do their like reunion down the shore, they do like an all-class reunion. It's called Burrs on the Beach.
Huh. Really? Okay, yeah. The Burrs. And this is a female school?
When my mom went there, I guess it was split. You know, they had a male. No, yeah, because I oh, jeez.
It's female.
Well, now it's, oh, jeez. Well, now it's like a,
Oh, jeez.
Oh, golly. Well, now it's a, what's the word I'm looking for? It's a private school.
It's
a private school. Before it was a Catholic school that was.
Okay.
The Burrs. The Burrs?
Okay.
What? Just move on.
All right. I have the floor now. Okay. Fuller House star Lori Loughlin seems to be rethinking her legal strategy.
Oh.
According to new reports in Us Weekly and People. So she's, of course, been charged along with her husband for shelling out $500,000 to get their daughters into the University of Southern California. They've maintained their innocence and refused to plead guilty in exchange for a lighter sentence. Like many of the other parents swept up in the scandal, including Felicity Huffman. So, you know, others have gone for a plea deal.
Sure, and those, they're more likely to do better because they accepted the plea. The word was originally they waited too long and they were going to try to work a separate deal. There are some things, though, in this case, Preston, that might work in their favor that have come out concerning how they solicit for people on the rowing team. I guess was it USC where she was going?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And so there might be some gray areas here.
Well, apparently now facing 40 years in jail if convicted, it's starting to weigh on her now. She has, quote, asked her lawyer to negotiate a plea deal that would involve no jail time but home confinement and with monitoring via ankle monitor. This is an insider saying this. She's willing to pay a substantial fine of over $2 million.
Huh.
Meanwhile, an insider tells people that she didn't think that shelling out $500,000 was wrong. She honestly didn't think what she was doing was any different than donating money for a library or an athletic field. She's embarrassed and hurt, and she knows that her reputation has been ruined for life, the source says, but she also believes the allegations against her aren't true.
Okay, but is there anybody on the school side that's in trouble for this?
Well, the guy who would have been in trouble provided evidence for the investigators, so he's actually going to do far less. I know, it sucks.
He'll get in trouble, right?
Yeah, he's getting in trouble.
Yeah. How can the person that receiving the bribe, and I'm just going to call it a bribe, I don't know what the freak it is, but... How can the person receiving it be getting less?
No, I get it. This happens all the time. I mean, you know what happened? Like Sammy the Bull Gravano, the hitman who killed, 16, 17 people, turned evidence against Gotti and got off with basically nothing. They put him on like a witness relocation program thing, Henry Hill and Goodfellas. Yeah. So here's a guy who's is known. They know he's murdered people. And he gets off with it because he turned evidence on the guy they were really going
The justice system's a little wacky.
Yeah. Well,
loony, I would say, and zany.
We'll see what happens. Dancing with the Stars host Tom Bergeron is responding to some widespread negativity with the casting of the iconic ABC series was met with. Former White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer, Supreme's Mary Wilson, Karamo Brown, The Bachelorette's Hannah Brown, supermodel Christie Brinkley, country star Lauren Elena, actor James Vanderbeek, NFL legend Ray Lewis, pop star Ally Brooke, Lamar Odom, and Kel Mitchell, plus our good friend Kate Flannery of The Office, who we're going to talk to later this morning, are the cast. Twitter erupted in some outrage, primarily at Spicer's casting, as he's considered by some to be highly divisive. So Bergeron took to Twitter to explain his side. He said, a few months ago during a lunch with the new executive producer, I offered suggestions for season 28. Chief among them was my hope that Dancing with the Stars would be a joyful respite from our exhausting political climate and free of inevitably divisive bookings from any party affiliations. And he said, I left that lunch convinced that we were in agreement. And he said, subsequently, and rather obviously, a decision was made to, as we often say in Hollywood, go in a different direction.
Yeah.
He said, it is the prerogative of the producers in partnership with the network to make whatever decisions they feel are in the best long-term interests of the franchise. We can agree to disagree, as we do now, but ultimately it's their call, and I'll leave them I'll leave it to them to answer any future questions about those decisions. So he basically said I didn't pick, and if he got a problem with that, it's them.
I think Bergeron's right in this. I think that he's trying to keep the show like the way we approach it. We don't want to listen. We don't want to, whatever the case. They've had people on before. They had Tucker Carlson on. They've had people. They've had political people. But Bergeron's thinking, I would like the largest available audience without pissing people off.
Right.
Yep. And that's part of the deal. You know, whether you're like Sean Spicer or don't, whatever the case is, he's looking at this thinking, with the same sort of methodology that we use, we'd like to be a break from all this crap because it works its way into everything now, and they're trying to make this dumb dancing show something where you don't have to confront.
And it's an election year coming up, too.
It's going to be volatile.
You don't need to dive into that stuff.
Did they get more flack for Spicer or for Ray Lewis?
That's what I was going to say. Like,
Ray Lewis is pretty divisive.
Ray Lewis was divisive as well.
And he pled guilty to stabbing murder. I mean, to obstructing of justice.
And so Bergeron's seen this in a couple of years and is like, and I was reading a little bit more extended interview or whatever he posted, and that's his take is, in fact, the whole purpose of the meeting was, can we veer away from that and just make this a dance competition for whatever the hell.
To answer your question, Nick, the story that I read said that primarily it was Spicer's casting that had caused a bit of an uproar, but I'm sure some people are in there too on the Ray Lewis thing. So, but anyhow, he's saying, look, you know, I tried. Here's what we got.
Yeah.
I got to do this. So, you know.
Suck it.
Talk to those guys.
Suck a bag of
D's. Suck a bag of D's. Fans are sniffing a conspiracy in Kim Kardashian's latest social media share. This is so stupid.
All right.
This is so. You're going to have to explain it to me. All so right. She nominally posted a video of her, quote, brave daughter, Chicago West, playing with snakes on Wednesday. Now, the one-year-old apparently had no qualms handling snakes, and she wrote, "My brave Chicago."
My brave Chicago.
Also adding a snake emoji. Now, the emoji of a snake, of course, it says here, of course.
Of course.
Is a key player in her ongoing feud with Taylor Swift, and fans are loving it, congratulating her on being brave enough to let Shy play with Swift. I don't understand this at all.
So, the snake emoji means... Like there's a feud going on that somebody's a bitch, somebody's a snake, somebody's like a snake in the grass, right?
Yeah, you know,
that expression. So this could be just an adorable video with a daughter playing with a snake, or it could be a deliberate attempt to find a way to be subversive and get into the news because of an emoji.
This is clearly that, Nick. It is a bold-faced attack on America's sweetheart Taylor Swift.
So, but they're saying that this post is a shot at Taylor?
Yes. It is. Kathy.
Yeah.
How could it be anything else?
How could not be?
You see an adorable little girl playing with an innocuous snake. This is war.
Well, it's the snake emoji that people are going on about.
She is actually playing with a snake.
Yeah. So then the emoji's okay.
Yes, exactly.
You freaking morons.
You walked in the trap. You stepped right in the trap, Preston.
Jesus.
So I saw one earlier in the week, an emoji, and it was back-to-back emojis. Casey, it was kind of like the emoji code. It was a cup of coffee and a frog. Do you guys know what that one means?
It means you're gay.
No. Clearly.
No.
Java frog.
I had to look it up. It's based on...
Java frog.
It's based on a meme of Kermit the Frog sipping tea, which is apparently means this is none of my business. So if you ever see...
What?
Yeah, no. I know. So it's based on...
Love it.
On something else that's based on something else.
All right, so this picture of Kermit drinking tea means...
That became a meme.
This is none of your business?
This is none of your business. I'm just going to leave this here, and it became a sort of a popular meme at one point. And now on Instagram, when you see the coffee emoji and the frog emoji, it's reference to a meme, which is reference to something else.
Okay, so this is like now, what's that that English language where it's like, we're in real Barney right
Cockney.
Now.
Cockney. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You're right. It's similar to Cockney. You have to, you need the Rosetta Stone.
Yes. Yeah, a translator.
In order to figure this out.
It's ridiculous.
It's insane.
And to think that people know all the various nuances of these things is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I would not have gotten the Kermit drinking Lipton tea.
Well. The only reason I bring it up is so you know it now.
Yeah. Thank you. Yesterday we learned that if you flip a pineapple over, you're going to get gangbanged.
That's true. I'm so glad I don't care about this. All right, so...
What's the emoji for I don't care?
This happened... this is none of your business, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That
would
do it.
This is from a couple days ago. We didn't get a chance to get to it, but Larry King is seeking a divorce from his seventh wife, Sean King. 22 years they've been together.
It's over.
So he has been, it's funny, he's been able to be married for 22 years and have seven wives.
It's crazy.
That's how old he is. Yeah. He's 80,
seven wives.
He's 85 years old. He filed a petition to end the marriage Tuesday in L.A. Superior Court. Larry and Sean King, who was then a singer and TV host, married in 1997 and have two adult sons, Chance, who is 20, and Cannon, who is 19.
You know why they named him Chance, Preston?
Uh-uh.
Because there's no chance he's actually
right.
His son.
I do like the name Cannon. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Reports surfaced
go boom.
In 2016 that Sean had an affair with another man. By the way, she's 59 years old.
She's an attractive woman.
She is an attractive woman.
Of course, Larry works as a gargoyle on buildings.
But Sean and Larry sat down for a joint interview. This is in 2016. When there were reports that he had an affair with another woman. So they sat down for a joint interview on the Hallmark Channel's Home and Family and presented a united front. He had said, I've been in the business next May for 60 years, and I've dealt with rumors for a long time, Larry said. And I've dealt with people involved with rumors, and rumors are what they are. They're rumors. And to tell you the truth, I don't pay any attention.
Rumors are rumors, and there's rumors, and Fleetwood Mac released an album called Rumors.
This week on the latest Pinup Girl, Sean had commented, you have to just develop a shell around yourself.
Can I say rumors again?
And not get hard on the inside and stick together.
Oh, I'm hard all over.
Shell on it.
Sorry. No problem. A source tells ET that Larry is in great spirits amid his divorce proceedings. So
they look, honestly, anytime you see them together, she looks like his Beata nurse.
Yeah, you're right.
You think he'll date again?
Yeah.
Yes. There's still a lot of steam in this engine.
Yeah. Gigi Hadid and Tyler Cameron continue on their road to romance, dining out at LA's La Esquina. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's in New York. It's La Esquina, not L.A. In New York City, this time with her good friend Serena Williams.
Ah, they're palling around Serena Williams.
Well, Hadid and Cameron are reportedly keeping it casual. She broke up with longtime love Zayn Malik, and he just came off of The Bachelorette. They keep hanging out, and Cameron is looking for an apartment in New York City. Williams
this is also exciting.
Williams and Hadid are tight with the tennis star, leaving her newborn to present her with an award in 2017, saying at the time, Gigi, you're one of the few people on this planet I would leave my baby for one night.
I would eagerly abandon my children for you.
Hadid responded, Serena, I just want to say you have been such a beautiful light in my life for so many years, and I can't tell you how happy I am to call you my friend.
How do they get these exact quotes?
I don't know.
What are they? I mean, it's ridiculous. This is what they're assuming they're saying.
It was an award.
All right.
So anyhow, Williams was reportedly in town for Nike's Queen of the Future event, in which she and other tennis pros like Naomi Osaka, Simona Halep, and Maria Sharapova played with aspiring tennis players at a pop-up stadium. A pop-up stadium?
And where are those pictures I was supposed
How do you
to
create
see?
A pop-up stadium? All right, anyway. Forbes has released the highest paid stars list. It has come out.
We're always fascinated with this. Who's making the most?
Yeah, I have the top 10 for you here. Which way
don't
you want to go?
10, it sounds desperate.
I know. Do you want to go from the bottom up?
Let's go from from the least to the highest paid.
All right, so Will Smith earned $35 million within a year. It was between 1 year at this time.
Okay,
So Will Smith, and then you had Paul Rudd made $41 million. Good for him.
Yeah, wow. That's awesome.
We love Paul Rudd. Chris Evans.
Yep.
$43.5 million. You'll see quite a few superheroes.
The Avengers,
on this list.
Yeah.
Adam Sandler made $57 million. Adam Sandler still makes
Adam
money.
Sandler fist. For Netflix has been releasing some of their highest rated movies.
Really?
He has his contract with Netflix is on fire. He also David Spade's movies do incredibly well. So everyone in that Sandler group is doing gangbusters on Netflix.
At number six is our buddy Bradley Cooper. He made $57 million. It was a big year for him with A Star is Born.
Yeah.
Number five, Jackie Chan. Made $58 million.
Now, Jackie Chan, like, over in Hong Kong, and he's Brando over there.
Number four is Akshay Kumar, and I don't know who that is. Akshay, A-K-S-H-A-Y.
Bollywood, maybe?
Possibly Bollywood.
I'm not sure. Nick, you'd have to look that up. Akshay, S-H-A-Y, Kumar.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Bollywood. Yeah, exact case.
Akshay Kumar made $65 million. In third place is Robert Downey Jr. With $66 million. Anybody want to guess the top two?
All right, the top two. Dwayne Johnson.
Yep, Dwayne is number
one.
Wow,
no way.
Right, yeah.
$89 million.
Wow,
80 past year.
But also, you got to remember, Dwayne Johnson has a movie out every 7 minutes.
Yeah. So.
Is Kevin Hart the other?
No, Kevin's not even in the top ten. Number two is Chris Hemsworth. And he made $76.4 million.
Well, he had Men in Black in there too, so maybe it didn't make a lot of money at the box office. But
he was paid up front. Yeah.
He made
what
a
about
lot
the
of Royale one as well?
Oh yeah,
Bad Times at the El Royale. Mm-hmm.
So there you go. They're making lots of money, and you know,
Dwayne Johnson, man, he was already a multimillionaire off of the wrestling.
Yeah.
And then the movie career just
shot him into the stratosphere. What else I got here for you? Meghan Markle is sharing a look at her lovely day.
Oh, my God!
After announcing that she is launching a capsule collection of women's wear to benefit a charity that helps women snag jobs. It's called SmartWorks, and fans are getting the first look at her project. She posted a video on Instagram stories in which she surprises a group of women as they arrive to the collection photo shoot. The action is set to Bill Withers' 1977 hit "Lovely Day," so that's why she has
that.
It is a great song. So she's got a collection out, and
a capsule collection of some
What is a capsule?
I don't know. Kathy, any idea what a capsule collection is? Maybe small, limited edition or something like that.
I'm not sure.
Okay,
is it like a Tylenol capsule?
Something along those lines. All right, and then one more story, and we'll wrap things up. Fresh off his role of playing Elton John in the hit biopic Rocket Man, Rolling Stone reported that actor Taron Egerton will read the audiobook of Elton's upcoming memoir titled Me.
Has anyone seen Rocket Man?
I have not. It's one that I missed.
I know. I'm so eager to see it.
Me too. It's just one that
I think I've been watching Bohemian Rhapsody so much on HBO.
Yeah. The autobiography, which was co-written by music journalist Alexis Petridis.
Texas.
will be published on October 15th. And in the press release for the 13-hour audiobook, which will include passages by Elton himself, Egerton explained, "Elton John is a fascinating man, at times incredibly intimidating and yet very vulnerable. I've never met anyone like him. I was passionate about my role as Elton in the movie Rocket Man. And this feels like the perfect closing chapter to the whole experience. I'm honored to have been asked to narrate Elton's autobiography, and I'm excited to get started."
What's the next movie of this ilk coming out, this big?
I've not heard any other biopic, anything that's being released right away.
Richard Marx?
Isn't there a Bowie one coming out?
Yeah, Bowie might be one.
Well,
yeah.
There was a documentary that came out recently on the forming years of him up until Ziggy Stardust. So I don't know about a biopic, but who knows. But I have met Elton a couple of times. Super nice guy.
Where did you meet him?
Friendly. I met him in St. Louis. He was playing Busch Stadium. And so we did a meet and greet beforehand. And he was wearing this red. It looked like... it was head-to-toe red leather outfit.
Yeah.
And,
by Eddie Murphy?
Kind of like that. Yeah. And he was very, very nice, and he was commenting. He was talking about, you know, because it gets really muggy in the summertime there. He's like, yes, last time I played here, it was hot as S. Hot as S. And he was just very, very friendly.
Cool.
Super friendly. And then I met him another time in New York at a performance that he did for, I forgot which record company he was with, but it was this exclusive. Rosie O'Donnell was sitting in front of
him. Oh, really? There you go.
Yeah.
How was she?
She was nice.
Could you move your head?
And it was just him and a piano, and he played for like an hour. It was cool. All the executives. I think it might have been A&M Records.
I told you one of the best concerts I've ever seen in my life. He did about 4 hours at the Beacon Theater.
Yeah.
Wow.
And he was back after having all that throat stuff, all those issues with the polyps on his vocal cords or whatever it was. And it was him. He had two pianos, and he had Ray Cooper, I think his name was, the percussionist.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that was it. Nice. It was amazing.
Yep, he's great.
Wait, real quick, just yes. because I didn't like that I didn't know the answer.
Capsule.
So the capsule collection, it's basically like essentials that you need in your wardrobe.
Okay.
All right.
Apparently, this is the third time we had to look this up.
Are you serious?
Yeah, we talked about it.
We are woefully underinformed when it comes to capsules.
All right, we're ready for the clips here. In Brittany Runs a Marathon, the title character trades in her late night adventures and early morning walks of shame to train for the New York City Marathon. And here, Jillian Bell talks about how this movie changed her life.
It just felt very personal to me, her journey and things that I've gone through before. There were lines in there that I'm like, I've said that to myself. So I thought it would be either very therapeutic or send me in a spiral. And I think it did both in a good way.
Yes.
This is who we're going to have in studio
right.
on Monday.
Okay.
Yeah. Her and then the writer-director of the movie.
Nice.
Yeah.
She's great.
I love her.
She's great.
Brittany Runs a Marathon hits theaters this week.
Ooh. She's incredibly funny in was it 22 Jump Street?
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Let's do the next clip. Most parents wouldn't know what to do upon finding out their child would like to attend clown college. Baskets features Chip doing this, and Louis Anderson, who portrays his mother, explains why Zach Galifianakis is a pleasure to work with.
You know, when he's doing a part or getting into the character, but he never shuts anyone out, and, you know, he's just really, like, I was surprised at what a real person he was, because he's a big movie star, but yet, just so down to earth and so natural.
It's not funny!
Didn't they just, isn't that over?
Are they wrapping it up?
I thought it was, says the series finale. There you go. So
okay.
Baskets airs tonight at 10 o'clock.
The show is actually funny. It is very, and Louis Anderson as the mom is very funny.
I love him in drag.
Didn't he win the Golden Globe or the Emmy one year for that?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
He may have. All right. And that is what I have in the entertainment report for you this morning. All right, let's take a break. We are going to come back in a moment. We're going to get Kate Flannery on when we return.
Mm-hmm.
See how she feels about Dancing with the Stars, getting prepared for all of that. We're also going to have Ian Edwards at Helium Comedy Club, and our friends from Lorenzo's, our buddy Giuseppe, has a really cool announcement coming up, and you could benefit from this. We'll get you the details in a little bit. Stay with us.
Nickelback hits Atlantic City this Saturday at Hard Rock Hotel Casino. MMR's got your shot at their exclusive side stage cove for a concert experience you'll never forget. This is how you remind me. Listen this week to win your way in. Winners get tickets and access passes to join our own Brent Porsche at the show. WMMR.com for complete details and giveaway schedule from 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
All right, thank you so much, Kathy. Hang on, I'm looking for something. All right, I am all set for our next guest. She's on the line, ready to go. We actually broke in with breaking news yesterday.
Well, she warrants this.
She definitely does.
And this warrants that.
A good friend of the show.
This is that.
Let's get ready for this. Okay, so we have our good friend Kate Flannery on the line.
Yay!
Dancing with the Stars. Oh, my God. Hi, Kate.
Hey, how are you?
We're great. But how are you?
You know what? I'm exhausted. I've already started dancing. I'm exhausted. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not sure what I'm getting myself into, but here we go.
No.
Wait, did you start practice yet?
I'm not officially.
Okay.
They said don't over rehearse before we meet with our dancing partners. I'm taking their advice.
Well, this is very cool because we've had a few people. We had John Schneider in recently.
Oh, yeah.
Who was, he talked about it. He said a lot of people say they get into the best shape they've ever been in from Dancing with the Stars. Others that we've had in said it was torturous beyond all belief. But everyone says it's a unique experience. I have to ask you. You impress me as the kind of person who does a lot of street and break dancing.
Is that going to be
your strong point, Kate? What is your specialty?
I just want a carbo load.
Yeah. You want a carbo load.
Maybe a lot of non-alcoholic beer.
Right. I think this is, and if you honestly, when you look at the cast, I mean, they come out with the quote-unquote celebrities, I'm like, you are, and especially there's never been a hotter time for the office because it's just huge. A, and then B, I'm looking at your competitors on this. You're the Meryl Streep of this group.
You're hilarious.
It's the truth.
Hilarious.
Yeah, no, yeah, I think it's going to be great. And we've already said we're going to compel non-watchers and watchers alike to vote for you.
Oh, 100%. I stopped watching a few years ago. I used to love this show. Yeah. I'm 100% watching this, Kate, and I'm voting for you every week.
You guys, this is so much pressure. I like it when the bar is nice and low.
Listen, I don't care.
No, you don't have to do a damn thing. Yeah. We'll just keep voting for you.
We'll keep promoting that on the airwaves, too. We're going to push it.
Throw a hissy fit and refuse to dance. We'll still vote for you.
We're going to vote for you.
I'm actually really excited. I mean, you know, I have to say, this show is a party, and I've been invited to a party, so I never turn down an invitation to a party. So here we go.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Do you know who your partner is?
No, won't find out till Monday. But, you know, also, like, one of the reasons why I decided to do this is because I feel like, you know, I'm 55, you know, class of 82 at Archbishop Carroll, and I think the thing is that we take ourselves out of the race so many times when we get older, like, ah, I can't do that anymore, I can't do that. So I feel like I may not be able to do this anymore, but I've been asked to do it, so I'm going to give it a shot.
Yeah, and I wanted to ask what part of you, because obviously, you know, some things come along with it. There's exposure, you might win, who knows. But what part of it is, you know, okay, this will force me to kind of get a little bit more physically in shape, because every single person that is a contestant on this show comes back and says, I am in the best shape of my life. After all this, and now it's going to be torture doing all those hours and hours and hours. But was there a part of you that says this will help whip me into shape a little bit?
Maybe, yeah. Because I like to, you know, I like to be on a microscope. You know, I like to challenge myself, and but I also feel like, I mean, I don't know. We'll see what happens. I mean, because, you know, I don't know if you guys know this, but when you get older, like, things don't work the way they used to.
Yeah. Oh, there's at least 80% of my body that no longer works. But I'm really working with the 20%, and it's working out okay.
So yeah, the electroshock I'm going to do every day, I think, should help.
It's awesome. It's so cool.
So Kate, there are portions that air live. Will you not curse so much on ABC?
There is a five second delay. You guys, I'm depending on the 5 second delay.
Okay, so 5 seconds, not unless you really stretch out the F bomb.
Yeah. I don't think you're going to make it. You're not going to make it through the whole season without cursing.
Jesus,
Flannery.
You know she's going to do it.
Oh, my
God. You don't know how many celebrities have been through here and now know that it's the Flannery button on on the board. So let me ask you, obviously, you can't address the controversial casting and blah, 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 blah. The show is about dancing. And I think Tom Bergeron is right. You just got to, you sort of check out and enjoy what's going on. But again, for a show that, what is this? This is the 241st season?
Close, 28.
28 seasons. And the show is, it's an international sensation. Yeah. In other countries, they have their own competitions.
Yeah,
you become part of this, group that they always have the other dancers back, even if you are, and we're going to work to make sure this is not the case, you're voted out early, you come back for all of the specialty shows and the voting and all of that stuff. I mean, what a great confluence of events to have. We talked about it the last time, to have The Office as hot as it's ever been in repeats.
Yeah.
And this going on at the same time has to blow your mind.
It does. I'm already doing Dancing with the Stars in Croatia next year.
You're doing Croatian Dancing with the Stars.
I'm going to go there. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah.
So
it's such a gift. I mean, this is the thing. I feel like The Office has the smartest, most obsessed fans. But because they're smart. Like, I feel like I'm so lucky to be on a show that had the best writing and the best, you know, just the best cast, and like just, and also treat the audience like they were really smart. Like, you can watch the same episode 5 times and find 5 things that you didn't, or maybe find 4 things that you didn't find funny the first time because you were laughing over it.
No, you're exactly right.
And I think that's why younger kids have gotten into it, because no one's telling them when to laugh.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and so obviously you already know, Kate, because you sent some nice videos to my daughter that, like, her and all of her classmates are, you know, just obsessed with the show. They've watched it in its entirety. I'm talking every single episode, you know, a couple of different times. So as a result, I have watched it, you know, over and over again. And I made this observation about the when Michael and Holly get engaged, that episode I've watched at least 5 times, and I've cried every single time. It's just so sweet. I really, really love it. So not only is it a funny show, but it's a show that has heart.
Absolutely.
Listen, and we love Ricky Gervais and I, the original version of the show, which was solid. But there were a lot of references and things that I don't think ported effectively. And that Casey, the show is in a class by itself.
Yeah.
Thank you. So maybe I shouldn't do Dancing with the Stars. Maybe
you're going to sully the image? This is a disaster. What
no,
are you,
you should, because I wanted to ask you. I don't know, like, listen, in professional sports, all the athletes, they get a certain amount of tickets to the game. So if you, like, make it to, like, the top five, top four, is there any way that we could be your cheering section at one of these?
Can you bring Rolling Rock?
Yeah.
Sure. We'll bring whatever you want.
Sure.
Yeah, the bar is nice and low. Nice and low.
Well, you'll have to keep a surprise. I don't know. Obviously, you have to reveal things on the show as they come out. It's they want to be first to present it. But
hopefully the things I reveal will not be my body part.
Kate, who are you excited to appear on the show with? Because there's some cool people there.
It's a true adventure. I literally feel like I just found out who's involved. So it's all new to me. So I'm just navigating it, like, literally right foot, left foot.
Is it James Vanderbeek? Seems like he'd be pretty cool. I love Christy Brinkley.
Yeah.
You know,
totally. No. It's I think James and I did an episode of Match Game together. And we did the soup a couple times together too. Okay.
That's cool. He's got a good sense of humor about himself and about as I think it's two times now he's played James Vanderbeek in a movie and in a series. Yeah. So he gets himself.
Yeah,
hilarious.
It's pretty wild.
How much of this? How long will this go? I mean, if you went the distance.
Oh, the last show is November 25th, so it's Thanksgiving. So. Okay. So if I go this long, I'm going to have four turkey dinners.
Honestly, we have to move heaven and earth to make sure you win this. Because actually, John Schneider was saying in his iteration of Dancing with the Stars that and I don't know who the winner was for his group, but when it was announced, everyone sort of looked at each other like, no, but it was the viewers' votes that propelled that person to first place. Nick, I don't know if you can look it up who it was, but if it can happen then, it can happen with us.
Well, don't hold your breath is all I'm saying. I'm just taking it one episode at a time.
All right. You don't have to worry. Let us handle the fixing the numbers.
Kate, we'll work on that. Has any of your fellow office mates gotten in touch with you, reached out yet?
Angela Kinsey might be coming to the first show. We're trying to work it out. Yeah, which would be great.
You know what's cool, though? It's like with the lampshades and all that this is sort of in your wheelhouse because a lot of it is that sort of, you know, that sort of.
It might have been 25 years ago. Let's get real. I am the joke is going lower and wider, if you know what I'm saying.
Kate, they've had people who are deaf, people with peg legs. I think
I literally had a desk job for 9 years. I mean, like, seriously, like, the spread happens even when you're acting. I'm such a method actress. I literally got, like, the spread from sitting in a desk. I swear to you, you guys.
I think you're going to do great. I think you're going to kill it.
Well, you guys, I really appreciate your support. And pick up the they still vote on the phone. I mean, old school. I kind of love it.
We're going to do it.
We should start a hashtag. Vote for Flannery.
Yes. Hey, Kate, I wanted to ask you a quick question because there was a woman who was accidentally hit by a police car earlier this summer, and it was very, very reminiscent of when Meredith got hit by the car.
Did she do her own stunt like I did?
Dude.
What's happening? Oh, that's horrible.
Because it was, like, legit funny, but, like, she got hurt. But I was laughing, and I wanted to ask you if you could take me through how you guys shot that particular scene when Michael pulls into Dunder Mifflin and then hits you.
Okay, initially, we shot it where literally it looked like Michael Scott went over a speed bump, and I was the speed bump. For some reason, it did not translate as well as they thought. So our editor, Dave Rogers, who went to Ithaca, he's like a really smart guy, he figured out this, like, crazy action shot, like, a few weeks after we shot the episode. So they were just putting it together at the last minute. And so he's like, would you be willing to just say, so one of the producers actually hit the glass and rolled off, like, to show me how easy it was. I was like, you didn't have to do, like, I would have done it. So they had a giant pad on the on the ground next to the car. And I remember it was right before the Emmys. And for whatever reason, I was wearing, like, short sleeves and, like, this crazy overall skirt, you know, Meredith kindergarten outfits, crazy. You know.
Right.
And so they just had me, like, kind of loosen up as much as I could and, like, just try to... The hardest part was just figuring out how to start in the middle of the car and roll up to the glass and push off.
I love the look on your face, though. That you that was that's a priceless. It's a mixture of multiple emotions.
How many takes was it, Kate?
I'd say it was probably like maybe seven, just because it was harder to get the moment. It wasn't hitting the glass was fine. It was getting off that was like trying to pushing off without looking like you're pushing off. And some of you ladies know what I'm talking about.
Were you on the car the whole time? Or did you jump up on the car at the last minute?
I started on the car.
Okay.
I started in the middle. So it was like a really quick edit if you see it.
Yeah. It's great. It's great. So
yeah,
it's
movie magic for sure. For sure. And that guy ended up becoming the director. The editor ended up becoming a director because of that shot. Like he got so much street cred because of that. Because he kind of like, that was the whole, I felt like that was the whole episode. And for me, like literally, I got to be on the Tonight Show because of that shot. Because, like, literally, like, they called me. Like, suddenly, I was like, Jay, I think Joaquin Phoenix canceled at the last minute, so suddenly they put me in. I was like,
and they figure, well, we can't get Joaquin. We have to go to number two, Kate Flannery.
There you go. And I prefer to be number two.
Yeah.
We all know what number two stands for, right?
Yes, we do.
Hey, by the way, you were number one in something else. Last time we spoke to you, you were headed to the Night in Venice event in Ocean City.
Yes.
And you won Best Lead Boat.
Yes, the boat was called Miss Heine.
Miss Heine.
I didn't even know that until afterwards. What's happening? I'm not German. Oh, the other Heine. Oh, I get it.
Heine is in your butt. That's
There's
right.
There's always a Casual Friday reference coming up, whether I know it or not. Yeah,
That's great.
That's nice. Well, that's cool.
So I had a great time. That was so surreal because I used to go to the Night in Venice when I was a kid. And, you know, you just hope that they throw you candy on the butt. I mean, it's nuts.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
Well, today, are you? I assume you're doing a whole bunch of presses. Are you doing GMA as well and all those other shows?
We did GMA yesterday.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. So I'm still a little hungover. We partied last night.
Yep. That GMA buzz lasts all day.
I'm a little worried that Kate's getting too big for us, guys.
No. There are some people I would have suspected. Listen. If any of us had any level of success, I would expect you to dump us. It would have to be. There's no, you know, we're dead weight, but I have a feeling.
I saw the John Travolta interview. You know, you guys, you're only getting bigger. Come on. Listen.
Oh, well.
Come on. That's amazing.
Kate,
that was amazing.
Maybe they're going to invite you back to the Thanksgiving Day parade here in Philadelphia.
Maybe.
You just got to win that mirror ball trophy.
Seriously, I have to tell you, when I was in that parade, I had just done the Macy's in New York the year before. I come to Philly. There's literally... not once but twice I saw people with two ladders and a piece of wood, and they put the kids on the wood. I'm like, what's going on? Right there.
That sounds about right.
Nice. I love it. No, I love the Philly crowd. So many people came up who were like, who used to go to my dad's bar, my brother's bar. Like, you know, people I used to, you know, work with at restaurants and went to school with. I love it. No, I would love to do the Philly parade again.
Well, we will. We'll have you the next time. So you return in time because it'll wrap up in November. You'll have won Dancing with the Stars by that time, and we'll have you back, and you'll be.
But
there.
I might be in traction, you guys.
Well, we hope. We know you'll be busy because they shoot that in Los Angeles, right?
They do.
Yeah.
They
so, do. But we'd like to be able to talk to you at some point while the competition's going on, but it'll be awfully early in the morning, but who knows? You might be getting up at freaking 4 o'clock in the morning.
I'll have my people call your people.
All right, please, let's do this.
And it begins.
Let's leave it at that. All right, nice.
You guys are the best, really. And seriously, I mean, you know, like I said, this is really like I'm doing this because I shouldn't be doing that. You know what I mean? It's like, why not? Like,
yeah,
why
no.
Not? Like,
you're
why
right. We support it, and we are not kidding. We are going to mobilize everybody that we can, and we're going to be on this like white on rice.
Absolutely.
See, it's like my favorite Philadelphia accent sentence. My daughter goes to gymnastics class. Like, I'm going to gymnastics class, but in front of the whole country's going to be watching.
My daughter. Gymnastics. Oh, my God, Kate, you're the best. All right, go get them. Congratulations. Good luck with everything, and we'll talk to you soon, okay?
I'll load soon. Love you guys.
All right, Kate Flannery. How crazy would that be if she won it?
I'm watching.
I love her mentality with that, and it is the, you know what, yeah, I'm going to do it, you know?
She's, it's very cool. Marissa is a genius with the, you know, obviously getting messages out social media-wise. We have to mobilize every aspect of the show and
keep her going.
And Beasley Media Group and everything that we can do to get this happening, because at least get her well into the show.
Yeah.
You know, but...
She's got to be good. Like, she's got to, you know, even if she's not a good dancer, if they, you know, if they try and put on a show, a presentation, they stay pretty far into the show. And I think she'll be good at that.
She's the lovable, on the Office, she's one of the lovable characters that is, you know, her and like Creed is another character who's, the fans just love them.
I think they start off judging by your... what you do with the ability that you have, you know what I mean?
Right.
And they give you a pass if you're not technically great, but you're really trying and they see improvement. So she could do it. We'll say.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you guys think that cause I'm at that point where I'm starting to search around for, you know, I should try that, you know, that type of thing. I've always wanted to do that. And I think I should go ahead and just try it.
You do try things though. I'm more, I stick with things that I'm good at.
Right.
You know, if I can't get great at it quickly, I'm not going to do
frustrated.
It. You'll sample and I admire that about you.
I'll work on something.
Like you had the guitar for a while.
Yeah.
You had, your mime was big for you for a while.
No, but I'm like scuba is something I'm going to get into. And my philosophy is, look, if you work at something, you can improve at it. And so golf was one I took on and I improved and got better. Now I have a shoulder problem. So now I'm looking for something else to do.
Well,
but
you have to want to do it. That's what I've learned over the last few years. It's like, if you don't want to go to the gym and get in better shape, you're not going to be very good at it, you know, but my son takes piano lessons and he's really good at playing piano.
Right. So is he better than you?
Oh, he's much better than me.
Because you're taking lessons as well. But kids can pick that stuff up so quickly.
I mean, he's been playing longer, you know, over the last few years. And I took piano lessons when I was a kid, but I haven't since. But to me, it's something that I'm having fun with, playing with him. And it's more about doing something with my son and having a little bit of a skill for myself. But I'm never going to be a concert pianist, but I don't care. You know, the point is just to go out and do something that you enjoy.
Yeah. I looked up, like, things like, you know, should I go take sailing lessons, learn how to sail, or...
I'm
sailing. It's exactly what I thought of.
You hate the Jersey Shore.
No, he doesn't hate the Jersey Shore.
You don't love it down there.
That's where he's going to go wreck diving.
It doesn't mean I don't want to go sailing.
Maybe you'll like it if you can take up sailing.
No, here's the difference. Preston does, and you're like me. We're not lay on the beach for 9 hour people.
Right.
That's not our thing. We're adventurers. That's what we are, Preston.
Yeah. I'm sailing.
Yeah. What about, so you do the cooking, you do the other stuff. Well,
I did indoor skydiving for a while.
And you got hog wild.
Got pretty good at that.
Why did you stop?
Mainly because of my shoulder. I mean, that's, I just kind of.
The air was hurting his shoulder.
I backed up. Well, listen, dude. Yeah, so that was another thing that I did for a while, and I'm just always I'm kind
of. Could you combine a few practices?
I looked at things like I looked up the other day orienting, you know, which is
that's fun.
Yeah,
turning things around.
Orienteering, or
is that how you say it? Orienteering.
Yeah. I love orienteering.
Do you really?
Yeah,
I'm unfamiliar. What is it?
Oh, it's just, you know, working around with a compass, like, you know, you just
a map and
mapping a compass. And stuff like that.
And trying to find your way specifically to certain locations just by using. Do you want to
take a crack at it on the show? We'll abandon you someplace.
Yes, please. Let's do that.
I fell in love with that in the Boy Scouts.
Drop me off in Camden somewhere and let me find my way out. Yeah,
we had
Preston's on the line. Preston, Preston, Preston.
we had done that in Boy Scouts. It was like all of us. It was a race to with this flag, and I just recall like leading everybody into the right spots.
Really?
In fact, the very very last turn that we needed to make, it was like a big argument. Everybody's like, we should go this way. I go, no. I'm like, we have to go this way. And then, sure enough, like 25 yards down that little trail, that way, you know, was that white flag, and we won. I love it. And we did it in college too.
No kidding.
Yeah, I had some pretty ridiculous classes in school.
That was a class in college?
Not orienteering, but it was part of a class.
It was
called...
right after jumping up and down until you pass out.
I literally had a class called, well, I called it reading out loud for four credits, but it was called oral interpretation.
Yeah.
But the orienteering class was this class called Leadership and Adventure Activities.
Okay.
I renamed that one called Romper Room.
Yeah.
Because it was basically, let's go play a game for an hour and a half.
You guys ever tried geocaching? Geocaching's fun.
Yeah.
You know what that is, Steve?
I do, yeah. That I'm familiar with.
Okay, yeah. And that, like, there are little activities like that, especially with apps that you can just put on your phone and go out and try it for a little while. And if you enjoy it, great. And if not, go on to the next one.
Are you looking for more things, what you would call hobby-based?
Yeah.
So are you enticed or by – I mean, scuba seems to have come back up.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to look more into that. Well, you can go
a dry suit.
Fairly, it just depends on how much you can handle, but you can go fairly late into the season. But I'm trying to find stuff like that. You know, like Kate said, you know, she's just kind of going to go for it. You know,
I'm getting into is a little bit of the woodworking home repair stuff, the tools, and starting to build that up.
You should
up.
Take a carpentry class.
Of course, I will. No, no. My carpentry class
is
YouTube.
That's true.
I find if I pull up a video on YouTube, and my brothers-in-law are all contractors.
Yeah.
Most of them. And so they all give me the counseling.
Community colleges have all kinds of stuff like that.
Yeah.
You can just go take a class.
The problem is you have to actually stand up and go over there, I don't like that.
I had actually had an idea about doing somewhere like a Penco Tech or something like that, offering up little weekend like how to be a man course, you know? And I know that
look at these nipples, man.
This is one massive man.
You're talking about male skills, things that you should be able to do.
How to pleasure a woman.
This day and age, you can't call it that, but, for lack of better terms, yes, it would be like learn how to change your oil, learn how to, like, do some woodworking, you know, just basic skills,
No, I know exactly what you mean. In fact, there was a website that I had earmarked. It was several years ago, and it was along those lines. It was like, you as a guy, this is stuff you just, it's basic stuff that you ought to be able to do. It's not necessarily hard, but these are some skills that might help you in life.
Mm-hmm.
And women as well. I mean, there's skills that that absolutely you should just, and it's things as basic, like you said, as changing your oil, changing a tire, stuff like that.
What about collecting things? Is there anything that float your boat in any way?
Not really.
Okay.
I can't think of any collecting thing that would really get me going.
Well, you like just basic reading, right? Is you have more time to read? Is that something that you already do?
Something more physical. All right. Is what I want to do.
Reading on a treadmill.
Yeah, that too.
What about rock climbing?
I thought the shoulder thing.
Shoulder.
So now, I'm starting to have physical problems.
Hiking might be good for you.
Yeah, and you're actually pretty close to some decent hiking trails. Like you can go up to the Poconos, and some decent trails around there. Like not just trail walking, but like
how about raising alpacas?
Ooh.
you could get chickens.
What about
my God. No.
All right. What about gardening?
Chickens can't garden.
I know they can.
That's something we're thinking about doing in the near future. Next season, we're going to work on that. But I don't see me becoming a gardener.
But you might. You never know. Like, if you start diving into it, the zen of gardening is a real thing. And if you have an open mind to it, you might find that you enjoy it.
I do like mowing the lawn.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I like making the line straight. I do like that. Basic stuff like that can be a zen thing. Hiking for me is a big zen thing, as you know.
I wonder if there are landscaping classes that you can
take. This class is for everything.
I guess you're right.
You can't landscape without your classes. Go to your classes.
I mean, my friend was a horticulture major at Williamson.
Well, you know what they say, you can lead a horticulture, but you can't make her think.
You want to know how dumb I am?
The old Dorothy Parker line.
My friend was a horticulture major at Williamson, and when I first found out he was a horticulture major, I thought he said waterculture. And so for literally 3 years, I thought he was a waterculture major, and I didn't know what that was.
You mean water culture?
Well,
I'm surprised you were that confused with all those super intense classes you were taking.
In Philadelphia, people say water, so I heard water culture.
Water culture. Okay. Hang on, let me go to Stephanie. Hi, Stephanie. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. What's up, Stephanie?
I just wanted to tell you, one of the places that you can try things out are the local adult evening schools. I've gone, for the past 2 years, I've taken sign language, belly dancing, candy making, Zydeco dancing.
Sign language is something I've always wanted to learn.
Me too, Steve. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, it's our... they're cheap. They're 4 or 5, maybe 6 weeks. Do you, and you get to try something.
Do you have the question is, it's always time management with what we do.
Yeah. Also, proximity. You know, right. So you could take landscaping classes at Longwood Gardens, but that's not close to where you are, you know, right. So it needs to be someplace that's nearby.
Stephanie, what type of schools are these you're talking about?
They're called adult evening schools. I happen to live in Happer Horsham School District, so they have an adult evening school. The Warminster Township has one, so all the townships around me have one.
Yeah, North Penn has one, too.
Do they take attendance?
They do, yeah. You pay for it, you better show up. Yeah.
All right, I'm writing that down. I'm going to look into that stuff. Yeah, I'm just always looking for something different to
what about something to. Like more art, but like, you know, would you be into like extensive role-playing games, like the Dungeons & Dragons, like the, you know, like those.
I like doing escape rooms and stuff like that.
So. How about that?
Yeah. What? I mean, that's already kind of a family hobby that we do.
What about theater?
I don't think I'd be any good at that.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
You wouldn't want to play Annie?
I don't feel comfortable doing that. Yeah. It's remembering the line, Steve. You and I are the worst.
It's horrible.
The worst.
Speaking extemporaneously for hours is not a problem.
Yep.
The lines. But, you know, you do draw comfort from, you can't do it on stage. Like in movies, they have the ability to sort of veer on and off, you know. People tend to notice when you're playing Helen Keller and the Miracle Worker and you're talking.
Plymouth White Marsh has adult evening school. Preston, do you want to take arts and crafts with me?
Arts and crafts.
Oh, boy.
It's right near my house.
Ooh. Activities.
What about photography?
Possibly. That's a good one, too. Rochelle is thinking about taking some photography classes.
What about calligraphy?
I'm like, go ahead. No, I'm not a calligraphy guy.
But I always wanted to
know.
But
I love these suggestions. You guys are really good at
this. I started learning some card tricks last night. I went to YouTube, and I learned a couple of card tricks. So, so that's your card right there.
Yeah, so you're holding two of them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I haven't gotten good at it yet.
Preston, how about autoerotica? Autoerotic asphyxiation.
Ooh. Yeah.
That's
in a group setting?
In a group, yeah.
That could be
all right,
fun.
Class.
Yeah. How about trying all new bourbons?
You know,
Kathy's hobby is becoming a raging alcoholic.
I'm glad you brought that up. I've actually kind of backed off of bourbon lately.
Oh, get back into it.
Say it ain't so.
Why?
I've been more sampling tequila lately.
Oh,
no, I haven't given up.
We could do this together.
Yeah, are you've been into tequila lately?
Kathy's the Indiana Jones of booze.
Okay, all right.
We can try a new tequila every night.
Every night.
It's a hobby.
I'll come over.
It's for hobbies.
Yeah.
All right, interesting.
We're broadening our
well, listen,
horizon.
Kate just,
how many shots in a gallon, Kate?
Kate just kind of got the wheels turning with me a little bit because she is going for it.
Yeah.
And, I mean, she gets this offer to be on Dancing with the Stars, and she's like, you know what? It's another one of those let me see if I can do that type of things. I think that's healthy for people.
No, it absolutely is.
To say,
other people.
Let me see if I can do it right.
Pottery.
Boring.
How about smoking pottery?
Smoking pottery?
Yeah.
Oh, smoking pot. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break. We're going to come back in a moment, though, with some very interesting information concerning Lorenzo and Sons Pizza. And
epic, I would say.
Yeah, today's a pretty special day, and our buddy Giuseppe, who owns Lorenzo's, is stopping in to give us the details. And Tony will be here, too, along with Giuseppe. So we're going to take a break, get to that in a moment. Comedian Ian Edwards will be here as well. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Dirty Honey.
You know the time has come, so don't let me win.
Shine Down.
My monsters are real, and that train had a key.
Ghost.
Because it's mine.
New music, more of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
All right, man, do I have some stories for you. Let's get to those right now.
Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
This morning is brought to you by French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville with everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional information. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else? We'll start with this. An 88-year-old Connecticut man was arrested Monday after allegedly showing up at his nephew's place of employment with a gun, telling employees that he planned on shooting him. So Daniel Cashman was arrested by police and charged with first-degree threatening and breach of peace. So this guy's 88 years old.
88.
Police say that Cashman arrived at Stony Brook Construction asking if he could see his nephew. Employees told police that Cashman flashed what appeared to be a police badge and came strapped with a handgun visibly holstered at his hip.
I'm a police officer.
Cashman, who began tapping the gun on his hip, then proceeded to say that because his nephew had recently stolen some of his personal belongings and damaged his cuckoo clock.
He damaged a man's cuckoo clock.
That Cashman planned on shooting him.
You understand I'm going to have to murder him for that.
Police said
the cuckoo only comes out halfway.
Cashman only explained to the employees.
Only one coup.
He also explained to the employees that he was only planning on shooting his nephew in the leg and did not plan on killing him.
That's the way the police do it.
Cashman was told that his nephew was not in the building at the time, at which point police said that he thanked the employees for their time. And promised that he would return the next day.
So no one bought his premise that he was a police officer?
No.
Okay. Everything seemed to line up.
Employees also confirmed to police that Cashman never unholstered his gun and appeared to be confused and nonsensical throughout the encounter. They arrested him at his home, at which he voluntarily surrendered his Connecticut pistol permit.
Yes, I'm here to see my nephew today. I'm going to shoot him for breaking my cuckoo clock.
The firearm was seized later that day when detectives executed a search warrant seizure, and he was released on $5,000 bond.
Was there, in fact, a cuckoo clock at the house when they got there?
They never verified that, okay. But that's just what he said. Police say a man flashed a housekeeper at an Atlanta hotel and then died trying to escape security by leaping between balconies.
Wow.
Yeah, the man died at the Hyatt Regency Atlanta Hotel early Monday. The housekeeper reported the man to security, and as he fled, he attempted to jump from a balcony at least 10 stories high to one nearby.
He probably paced it all out. Okay, I flash, I run, it's about 20 steps, build up some momentum, I should be good.
The man missed the balcony and fell to his death. And believed to be accidental. Authorities didn't immediately release the man's identity, and the investigation is ongoing.
Was he in an alleyway with a boner, or was he?
No, but we do have a boner in this next story. And I got sent this a number of times, so here you go, folks. A Florida man, and this is truly a Florida man story, has been arrested for allegedly performing a botched castration surgery on another man that he had met online through a fetish website for eunuchs.
Oh, my God.
So Gary Van Ryswick, who is 74 years old, has been charged with the second-degree felony of practicing medicine without a license, resulting in bodily injury.
Oh, you need a license to perform a castration.
Yeah, sheriff's deputies arrived at Van Rieswick's house in Central Florida just after midnight on Sunday while responding to a 911 hang-up call.
See, that's a honey of a cuckoo clock.
Van Rieswick told the deputies that he had just removed the testicles of a man that he had met on a website for those that have a fetish for castration.
So they have a fetish for castration, but they don't seek out actual medical.
No, because doctors won't do that. It's not, you know, elective surgery.
Like rhinoplasty?
So you got to go somewhere else. Yeah. So in his bedroom, in his guest bedroom, deputies found the 53-year-old man holding a bloody towel on his groin. His testicles were in a jar by the side of the bed.
Oh, man.
Another section of the house was set up as a makeshift surgical room complete with medical equipment and a camera to record the procedure. The victim was flown to a Tampa hospital for life-saving measures and is currently in stable condition.
Preston, you were looking for a hobby. And this you can do at home.
I mean,
it's not on me.
No, you're not cutting off your own balls.
An officer for the sheriff's office said that he believed the man's testicles were taken to the hospital with him, but he was not aware if they had been reattached. He said, I don't even know if he would even want that.
No, I don't think I would want that.
Investigators say Van Rieswick had told them that he and the man had met 1 week earlier and tried to perform the procedure, but that the man had become aroused and had finished while Van Rieswick tried to sanitize his penis, meaning the surgery had to be delayed.
Here you have a guy who's trying to help cut your nuts off, and you insult him.
You have the audacity.
By completing on his medical equipment, which is basically just a melon baller.
Is there no respect anymore?
I don't understand. That's not what he didn't take the Hippocratic Oath for.
Van Rieswijk was said to have told the man he'd perform castrations on bulls and other animals while living on a farm in his youth.
Well, you got to practice.
And he was also said to have removed one of his own testicles in 2012.
Oh, my God.
Using painkillers that he'd purchased online from England, as well as forceps and scalpels he acquired. Van Rieswijk said he began the procedure on Sunday around 10 p.m. local time, but the victim's uncontrollable bleeding made it difficult for him to use clear suture material or stitches to try to close the wound.
Does it say how he acquired his basic knowledge of castration skills?
He used to do it at the farm, remember?
So he, but he's going to port it from an animal? Okay, yeah, well, I guess it's fairly similar.
That's it.
Humans are a little bit different, my uncle tells me.
Van Rieswijk allegedly confessed to performing a similar operation with a similarly disastrous result several years ago in a motel, but he could not recall the man's name. Van Rieswijk was arrested Monday and is now being held in jail on $250,000 bond. Florida man. Wow. Absolutely.
Florida man. Florida man.
So this is a fetish thing, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's wild. There's amputee fetishes and stuff like that, so it does not surprise me at all.
But they tell you, cut your nuts off before you amputate yourself.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
All right, and there you go. I can't get any better than that.
No, that's a home run.
I have other great stories, but I'll save them.
What better setup?
Later on with the Bizarre File, yeah. So we would like to welcome to the studio a couple of friends and exciting information that's going on. Now, we had mentioned a while back that Lorenzo's was going to be opening at Xfinity Live. Well, that day is today.
Yeah!
And there's something special is happening. We want to welcome our good friend Giuseppe here from Lorenzo and Sons.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Joe, good to see you, bud.
You as well.
And we also have Tony Monaco, the Chief Operating Officer of Xfinity Live. What's up, Tony?
Hey, guys.
Nice to see you, sir.
You too. Sorry to bother you at work.
No, no trouble at all. So today's the day that this happens, Joe. This is when Lorenzo's opens up.
Yeah, the unveiling's today.
Nice. I remember you telling me about this a while back that you had wanted this to happen.
Yeah, it's been in the works for a little over a year.
Yeah, about a year and a half ago, we got together and it took a little while. When we, I think September of last year is when we agreed upon to do this, and it's taken a while to get here, but we're really excited.
So when does it officially kick off today?
Today at 10 o'clock.
Yeah, 10 o'clock.
10 o'clock.
All right. So, and it's just slices?
Yeah.
So here's the deal. There's a special that's going to happen. I'm going to tell you about that in a moment. But we're looking at the picture of this.
Yeah.
Of Lorenzo and Sons Pizza at Xfinity Live. And it says huge at the top. It says menu, giant slice of pizza. And that's it.
That's it.
That's the only thing.
That's awesome.
I love that. Was it your idea, Joe?
No, I have to give it to Xfinity Live.
Yeah, we came up with that.
That is awesome. That's the only item on the menu, and it's written in huge letters, giant slice of pizza.
So one of our interns was sitting out there. I had never had Lorenzo's. Oh, my God. You don't know?
Yeah.
Honestly, one slice is good for a couple of people.
Yeah.
Obviously, you guys have had to manufacture or find a place to fit an entire pizza for pizza boxes. What you have not done yet is you need to find plates that fit the pizza as well.
He's been working that.
Because I a season ticket holder at the Sixers, and Lorenzo's is right outside my section, and that was my go-to. You go there, grab a water and a slice of pizza,
right,
and you have to, like, kind of eat right away so it fits on the plate.
Explain.
I have been working on it.
Yeah.
So it's been in the works for, like, 2 years. It actually is the size of the pizza itself.
Okay.
So it's about 12 inches by 14 inches long, and on the sides it says Lorenzo and Sons Pizza, so it's like a tray.
Oh, that's great.
It's actually the size of a triangle.
Okay, because at the South Street shop, it's just you get two paper plates.
Correct.
And you need two paper plates to put it.
And we actually have that tray at Xfinity Live now.
Okay.
So we'll be using that vessel to carry those pizzas.
All right, so here's the big deal. This is besides the fact that this is opening, today is a very, very special deal, and there's obviously the Birds are playing tonight. But you guys are opening in just a couple hours at 10 a.m., right?
Yes. Yep.
And what starts then? What's the special deal today?
Well, we're also at Xfinity Live. We're also opening today the Blue Moon Bar.
Right.
So if you guys have been to the VIP area before behind the DJ booth.
Yeah.
What we've done is recessed that area back, made it more open. There used to be two openings. Now there's six. It's wide open.
Wow.
Has a nice, good feel to it. And it's called the Blue Moon Bar. So it's more welcoming, not as before it was very exclusive.
For private parties and things like that. We're looking
and now
at
it's welcoming and now, everybody.
Oh, it looks sensational.
So there, we're going to have all the liquor and beer that we normally carry. But on draft, it's all going to be Blue Moon products.
Okay.
We've had a great relationship with the Miller Coors and Blue Moon throughout the years. And we came up with this idea around the same time that we were talking about doing Lorenzo and Sons.
Okay.
Now, one cool thing about the beer, the draft beer, three of the beers, Blue Moon Belgian White, Blue Moon Mango, and Blue Moon Harvest Pumpkin are the type are beers that you can – you can get now. They're seasonal. But we're going to be carrying a Rhino series, which is exclusive. Nick, you might be interested in this. It's from Denver, Colorado. It's the first time that it will be available in Pennsylvania, and it will be exclusively available at Xfinity Live. And it will be rotating beers, and the ones that we're going to be starting with today is a Blood Orange Pale Ale. I think it's called Tangarella. IPA, and that's like a mixture between a tangerine and grapefruit, and lemon drop pills, all Blue Moon flavors. So
interesting.
We have some out there for you later if you like.
All right. So, but today there's a special. If you're one of the first 100 people, this is a big deal.
Correct.
That's the money shot. So
reveal that, Tony.
Yep. So at 10 o'clock today, we'll be open. The first 100 people will be able to get a free slice of Lorenzo and Sons pizza. And a free Blue Moon at the bar.
Dude. First 100 people.
Nice. The first 100 people starting at 10 a.m., free slice of pizza and a free beer. You have to be at least 21, obviously, to get that. But that's, dude, that's freaking awesome. You're going to be mobbed.
Can I call an audible here?
Yeah.
Preston will also do a complimentary castration on you.
Oh, I will. If you want to volunteer.
First 100 only.
Only if you take that night class for it. I'll consider it.
Fair enough. So, wow, that's huge. So, 10 a.m. today, free pizza and beer. At Xfinity Live and Lorenzo and Sons and Blue Moon, it's all the new revamped part of Xfinity Live.
You know what you're going to get, Preston? You're going to get a lot of people who are just going down. Obviously, they're going to get, obviously, buy some food and beer and the whole thing, but just taking a picture of the menu because it is hilarious seeing it now. the menu, just one item, and it's hilarious.
And Joe, while you're here, just wanted to thank you publicly for helping out our friends with the Dinosaur Pileup the other night. They were here.
That was awesome.
They were mentioning you guys. They had the show at the Fillmore, and you and I were texting and made sure that those guys got the pizza that they wanted, which is we love repping Philly, and so thanks for doing that.
So anytime.
They're huge fans. Dorothy. More and more rock stars are getting turned on to the Lorenzo's phenomenon.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
So this is the newest. You guys have all your locations in the Wells Fargo Center. You got the obviously the South Street original location. You have the location in Westchester, and then this is the newest spot, right?
Correct.
Okay. Wow, they continue to expand and making people
slow
happy.
And steady, making people happy, growing the right way. I love it.
And a lot of revamping going on in that whole area over at Xfinity Live, Tony.
Yeah, so I know we've talked about we're going to be doing Comcast Spectacor and Cordish, or the partnership with Xfinity Live, are building a e-gaming arena for the Fusion in our valet parking lot where we've had camp out for hunger.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that's going to start sometime by the end of the year, and it should be open by 2021.
2021 is like a $50 million facility that's going to be able to have all sorts of stuff going on there.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. That we're building an office building called Patterson Place that came out, and there's some other things that are coming up. We're talking about a hotel right next to us too, so we've got a lot of things that are.
It's almost like what the original plans were. Are you sort of fleshing that out in a different way? The camp out, by the way, is still going to be down at
the we're figuring out the details of that and where our location will be. But we'll have that down the road a little ways. But
It's going to be there no matter what, on one side of the parking lot or another. But it'll still be there this year.
Preston, we're there now.
Dude.
Lorenzo's
going to be there. I'm so excited. That's great. Cool. Awesome. Joe, anything else you want to hit or just come down and get something to eat?
You can catch us today. Tony will be there, and I'll be there myself with the pizza.
Get there early. First 100 people.
Yep. You get a free free slice of Lorenzo's, and that's a meal. It's a full meal.
Yeah.
And a Blue Moon, which is cool. So awesome. Well, good luck, guys.
Thank you.
Your work cut out for you, but we appreciate you stopping by. Tony and
thanks,
Giuseppe.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Yep. Lorenzo and Sons, up and running, 100 slices. That's nuts, man. We're going to take a break, and we'll be returning in a moment. You know what I do have? I have Xfinity Live gift cards to give away. I'll spread them out. Yeah, exactly. I have a $25 Xfinity Live gift card. I'll take call number 25 and set you up at 215-263-WMMR. Give us a call right now. We'll be back in just a moment.
stream WMMR anywhere you have an internet connection. Check out the mobile app or go to WMMR.com. You'll figure it out from there.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Oh, yeah!
Thank you very much, Kath. And real quick, I want to thank the higher-ups in the Beasley company, our parent company here, WMMR. They had a big award ceremony. There, a lot of the executives are in town from around the country, from our various radio stations around the nation, and the Beasley family was in town. Steve and I hosted this award ceremony last night.
It was great to hang with them. A lot of the Beasleys we had not met, and the patriarch, George, it was cool to meet him, and Caroline was there, and Bruce and Brian, and but it was just a really cool night. And Preston, both you and I were wearing suits, and if we had walked in dressed as from the B-52s, Kay Pearson, you wouldn't see more. People never see us like that.
They were intrigued by us in suits, but we had a good time.
It was really good. Yeah.
Thanks to Beasley for putting that on. Real quick, can I mention, can I do a couple of butt plug charity thingies
yes.
here?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. I received some from, they're both actually in my, oh, wow. I haven't heard this song in ages.
Butt plug, butt plug, butt plug, butt plug.
For the Beasleys, yeah.
Here's some butt plugs loaded up with
this is what you bought.
Charities can email us and we'll do what we can. With a butt plug, butt plug, butt plug, butt plug. Yay!
Okay. So, charity plug. And I got this email. So, these are both actually in the area where I reside, out my way. This is in Skipack, I believe. So, this is an event on Sunday, 3 to 7 p.m. at the Hotel Fissole. Really cool place in Skipack Village. Silent auctions, raffles, and things like that. This kid, Billy Shirk, is a one-year-old boy with a rare genetic condition called spinal muscular atrophy. And it is a degenerative disease that takes away the ability to walk, sit, eat, or even breathe. He requires multiple treatments per week and special equipment to function daily. So if you are going to be in the area of Skipack on Sunday, stop by the Hotel Fissole. And that is from 3 to 7 p.m.
He's one.
What's that?
How old is he?
He's a baby. He's 1 year old. Breakthroughs for Billy fighting against SMA. So thank you to Kelly Johnston for getting me the information. So that's on Sunday. And then there's another one. The Harleysville Fire Company wanted me to mention their open house, which is coming up. It's not till October 5th, but I'll give it a plug now from 1 to 4 p.m. National Fire Prevention Week. In fact, most of your communities will be doing events like this.
They're usually good.
But they have a free event. Everybody's welcome. Refreshments, music, kids' activities. They do fire extinguisher, fire truck rides, the smoke maze, which is really cool.
Face painting?
They probably do face painting. But, yeah, it says face painting and more. the moon bounce, but the smoke maze is my favorite. They take a couple of rooms and they turn all the lights off and then they turn on like a theatrical smoke machine.
Yeah.
And you have to find your way through the room.
Wow.
You get an idea of what it's like when there's a fire and how it's not like the movies and you can't see a damn thing when you go into a building that's on fire. So anyhow, that's coming up October 5th from 1 to 4 at the Harleysville Fire Company, Harleysville Community Fire Company, I should say. So I wanted to mention that.
Nice.
May I do a shout out?
Yeah.
Okay, this is, oh my God, I'm hitting it today. It's a birthday on August 22nd. This is from Kate Gerard. Says, hey, I'd like a birthday shout out my husband and soon to be new dad, Mike Gerard, or Garrett. I'm not sure how you say the last name, G-I-R-O-D. Mike's been a loyal listener and podcaster for about 17 years.
Wow.
Yeah, as we've moved around the country, he has brought me a piece of Philly with him to Chicago and Seattle and everywhere that we have road tripped in between. After telling him the show was idiotic for years, he finally got me hooked on with an interview. It was Harper Lee's sister, and we have shared so many laughs over the show since.
And equally juicy shout out to everyone on the PNS team as well. And she says, "We love you," in Steve's bachelor voice. So a shart, please. And that's a happy birthday to Mike, who actually has his birthday today, which is a bonus that it actually fell on the day. Yes, Nick?
Is it all right if I do some as well, Preston? I've been sitting on these sharts for quite some time, so I'll just do them rapid fire. I met you at the General Davis. Please request a shout out for my friend Matt Colleen. That was from Rich. The Generation 3 Electric and HVAC, Dan Giuliani, General Davis, Lan Shank. I guess, or Land Shark.
Land Shank.
I don't know.
It's a beer made by prisoners.
And then Mary Ellen Gilroy and Gene Cave, they all came out to my appearance at the General a few weeks back, so those are for those guys. Thank you.
All right, cool. I have a shard as well. So I play this person in Where's Her Friends. Their username is Goofy Bananas. This says, my wife just gave birth to our second daughter, Elodie Lambert. And we chose not to know the gender ahead of time. What a champ. The whole labor lasted only 3 hours. I'm trying to read this quickly, not live on the air here. So she wrote in for him for their five-year anniversary. So he wants to do the same for her. So congratulations to his wife, Alexandra, on the birth of their child.
There you go.
All right.
Knocked off a whole bunch of sharts and butt plugs. Fair enough. So thank you, guys. I appreciate that. I saw an interesting article the other day, and this was from listverse.com.
I like lists.
And, yeah, and this is a weird one. So it is, I looked at the headline, and I'm like, is this going to be worth it or not? It's actually interesting. 10 explanations of the shapes used for everyday things.
Why things are shaped.
Yes.
The way that they are.
And the one that got me is this. Why an American football is a prolate spheroid.
Oh, all right.
Why is an American football a prolate spheroid?
The reason that it is because it is the shape of a pig's bladder.
Yes, actually, I did know that. Yeah, yeah, the pigskin.
The first American footballs were made of inflated pig bladders.
Wow.
And that's why they kept them that shape. Later, people started covering the bladder with stitched leather pieces. The balls still have those stitches, although they are only added to improve handling during play nowadays. The shape of the ball did not change when the pig bladders were replaced with rubber in the late 1800s. Because the footballs were easier to throw that way. However, the change came at a cost. The balls are hard to pick up when they fall, and it is also difficult to determine where they will land after a bounce, making it a nightmare for players and game developers.
To me, those balls are perfect.
Game developers often encounter difficulties when determining how to program the movements of the ball. While a regular soccer ball will go in one direction when it bounces, an American football can go into 30 different directions. Interestingly, early soccer balls were made of pig bladders but became rounder after the invention of rubber because they were easier to kick that way.
Do you know the original baseballs were living guinea pigs?
No, I had idea that they started by throwing living guinea pigs and hitting them with a piece of wood.
Yeah, and then obviously
a branch.
You know what happens. Yeah. And they're going through guinea pigs like crazy through a game.
Just exploding on contact and... I mean, how do you even throw them out?
Right, exactly. Contact. There's a host of issues.
Yeah.
But this does make sense because you had actually reported on the derivation of the term pigskin.
Yeah.
And that, there you go. Interesting.
It's just amazing to me how that thing travels in the air the way it does.
Perfect. So who's thrown the best spiral you've ever seen in football?
Drew Brees throws a great spiral.
People who do it and do it just effortlessly.
Yeah.
It's just amazing.
You know, it's fun because Peyton Manning is one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play the game, and he didn't throw a good spiral.
Yeah.
Yeah, he often threw, you know, like little mini, not like total ducks. Carson Wentz has a similar, I think, style to him. But
wobbles a little bit.
Just a little bit of a wobble.
Okay. All right, how about why airplane windows are rounded or oval?
They are sort of oval, right? Because there's a little bit of an...
Well, the edges aren't square. They're definitely not rectangular.
Right.
So the reason because that square windows become stressed when the cabin is pressurized. The continuous pressurization and depressurization of the airplane can cause the window to explode mid-flight.
that's not good.
That's bad.
Crashing the airplane. In fact, the first commercial jetliner was the British de Havilland Comet.
and it launched in the 1950s with square windows. However, that turned fatal after two of their airplanes broke apart midair.
I have a suggestion concerning the windows.
In 1953, killing 56 people in all.
And they blame the windows, window design.
They blame the windows.
So the windows are clearly made out of a different... They're not straight-up glass on a plane. They're made out of some sort of super... I'm assuming a space-age polymer.
Type of plexiglass, I would imagine. So experts determined that the constant pressurization and depressurization of the airplane caused the four corners of the square windows to weaken with every flight. This culminated in the windows breaking, causing the airplane to explode and break apart midair. So it was the corners.
And the stress, the oval shape diffuses the pressure.
Correct. Exactly. Mm. Yep.
That Southwest Airlines flight where the window blew out, did that just blow out or did something hit it?
That's a good question.
I can't remember.
Is that where the female pilot landed the...
And unfortunately, the woman died. She got kind of like partially sucked out of the plane and passed away. Yeah.
That's a good question, Kathy. I don't remember hearing exactly what the test or what the results were.
Do they still warn you not to roll the windows down during flight?
Only when you're above 30,000 feet. Square windows were quickly replaced with curved windows, which distributed the pressure over the surface of the window. And so no more problems.
You guys remember that story you had, Preston, with the they were going to have video panels all around?
I hope they do that.
That was a cool idea. Yeah, I do too.
So basically, to make it seem transparent.
Yeah, you're like Wonder Woman sitting in an invisible plane.
Right.
Yeah.
And then, in fact, they encourage the entire crew to dress up as Wonder Woman.
For some people on the plane, that'd be cool.
I don't know why I'm dressed like this, but they requested I dress this way, so.
All right, how about this? Why cartoon villains are triangular?
I haven't noticed as much.
Villains in cartoons, live action, and animated movies look similar. They often have horns, pointed ears, protruding chins, sharp eyes, pointed wings, V-shaped eyebrows, and devilish goatees. Hmm. This is not a coincidence. It is because the facial and body shapes of villains are often drawn or designed to resemble triangles with pointed tips. Like the Joker might be a good example.
Looking at
a picture of it now. Filmmakers and animators use triangles for villains because our faces look triangular when we're angry. People also notice triangular and angry faces faster because they appear threatening. So for movie directors, threatening and angry means evil. This is something backed by science.
Arch angles.
In one study, volunteers noticed the mad expressions first when shown the faces of smiling, angry, and neutral people. And they also noticed the downward-facing triangles first when shown pictures of four triangles pointing up, down, left, and right.
So this isn't not a hard and fast rule, but quite often it's, you take somebody like Kingpin, who's very roundish and just large and hulking. That's, you know, but for the most part, I can see where they're going with this.
Yeah, it says that a lot of villains will be this way, but not every single one of them, I guess. So,
anyhow. Like Bernie Madoff.
Yeah. Look at that triangular-shaped face on that guy. How did those people not know?
Yeah. With their triangle face.
They gave him all their money.
I don't trust this triangle-faced prick.
All right. Why stop signs are octagonal?
Yeah, this is a good question. Why are they octagonal?
They are because, let's say, they're the only road signs that are octagonal, and they are like that because the government wants them to be easily distinguished from other road signs, even when viewed from the back.
Okay.
Which makes total sense.
Right.
And I didn't even realize that until I was teaching my sons to drive. So sometimes you come to a two-way stop, and, you know, you're not really sure who all has stop signs or not.
Yes.
Even at some four-way stops, you're not really sure. Is this two-way or four-way? And, I go, they have a stop sign over there. And I didn't realize it. You have to look a little closer because you don't see the red and you don't see the word stop, but you do see that octagonal shape. And that's how you know that they have to stop as well.
It is, especially in there certain parts of the city where on some intersections where you're going across and there's no way to determine.
Yeah.
It's hard to determine if it's a four-way stop.
I think I told you guys this before, but Angelo Kwan, who is the number one guy in our class, number one academic achiever at class of 93 at Bucknell, at Conestoga, we told him that the stop signs with the white outline are optional. And when taking his driving test, he believed us and rolled right through the stop sign.
That was the old line.
He's clearly book smart.
Yeah.
So, the first stop sign appeared in 1915. At the time, they were square with a white background. Stop was written in a black font. The sign worked at first until more cars started to appear on the roads in the 1920s. Yeah. And then they decided that the American Association of State Highway Officials came up with a new eight-sided stop sign.
I propose an eight-sided stop sign
that drivers could easily recognize, even and even if they did not understand or could not see whatever was written on it. So, you know, it's interesting. We had our Swedish friends in to stay with us a little while back, and I was driving them around, and I came to a stoplight and, you know, made a right on red. And I thought, I'm like, do you have right on red in Sweden?
Do they?
No.
Really?
I was like, really? I'm like, dude, it keeps things moving.
It sure does.
They got weird-ass stop signs over there, too. I just looked it up.
Yeah. It
says Fjorten.
If you go to another country, one of the really interesting things is checking out their stop signs, because half of the stuff you have no idea what it means. Huh. And I remember asking several questions about road signs.
Well, the National Lampoon did a great thing. International signs and what they mean. In person, there's a silhouette of a bear with a cello.
Yeah,
and it explains what it means. Bears playing cellos next 5 kilometers.
I get so nervous driving in another country, specifically for this reason. And then, you know, obviously driving on the other side of the road, or, you know, things like that.
I won't do that. I would never.
You wouldn't do.
I would never try other side of the road.
We were in Ireland. You remember? We refused to do it. Yeah. I just know. Whether it's muscle memory or whatever, I know I would F up. It happened to Matthew Broderick.
Yeah.
And he ended up killing someone.
Yeah. I wanted to drive when we were going to England. I'm like, I want to do this, you know? And then we got in the cab or whatever it was. It was so weird to me the way they were turning. I'm like, you're going into oncoming traffic. What are you doing?
Yeah. Dude, even as a pedestrian.
Yeah.
Crossing the street.
Thank God, though, they have.
How am I doing? You know,
in London, they put down, knowing that they put down at every crosswalk, they have an arrow pointing with the direction of oncoming traffic.
Yeah. All right. Why donuts have a hole in the center? Steve, you worked at a Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah, I have a secret that I was sworn to uphold it's sort of like the Masonic.
I don't want you to reveal it.
I'll let you reveal it.
Okay. The origin of the ring donut remains hotly debated despite its popularity. People have come up with all sorts of theories about how donuts ended up with a hole in the center. One says that a Native American man unwittingly made the first ring donut when he shot an arrow into the center of a pastry while aiming at a woman.
That seems viable.
No, Jesus. Another says that some bakers created the first ring donuts, and supposedly when they added eggs to their dough, the final products were often uncooked in the center but overcooked at the edges, and they created the hole to eliminate the Gooey Centers.
I like Gooey Centers.
That's a good name for a band, the Gooey Centers. Centers.
The Gooey Centers.
Like a goth band.
You're actually going to write that one?
We are Gooey Centers.
The Gooey Centers. Hang on a second. Gooey
Centers. Centers.
Goo.
Ooh, that word starts with goo.
Actually, that's also a good country name.
Goo F yourself.
Goo.
Maybe I can talk the guys in Saint to renaming us the Gooey Centers.
The Gooey Centers have sold more records than the Beatles in Pakistan.
However, most sources credit a sailor named Hanson Gregory. This sounds like it might be more legit.
Hanson or Hanson?
Hanson.
Okay.
Hanson Gregory is the inventor of the ring donut, even though they do not agree on a single story. One version says that Gregory invented the ring donut when he forcefully put some pastries that he was eating through a spoke of his ship's wheel in 1847. According to another story, he created the hole to make his donut lighter after 6 of his friends fell overboard because their pastries were too heavy. Well, that's just stupid. Yeah.
This donut, this breakfast treat is far too heavy.
A third notion says that Gregory asked his mother to make the hole so that they could use lesser amounts of ingredients to make their donuts.
Mother, I need you to make me a hole.
In a 1916 interview with the Washington Post, Gregory said that he created the first ring donut in 1858. He explained that donuts were made in twisting or diamond shapes at the time. They were called fried cakes and twisters.
So the donut here that we're looking at, the silhouette, I don't know if this is a statue or something or whatever the hell this is, but the oldie time donuts had very large holes.
Yeah.
They were almost like
a gaper.
Yeah, like a gaper.
Gaper delay.
Of course.
So that is kind of the origin of why donuts have a hole in them. So there you go.
It seems vague at best.
All right. These are, by the way, these are explanations of the shapes used for everyday things. Why is love represented with a heart shape?
Yeah.
Well,
what?
Okay. I'm trying to figure out why that might be the case. I mean,
your heart beats faster.
Your heart beats faster during love or when you get excited.
But why is the
but
heart
it doesn't
that
look
shape?
Like a human heart.
It doesn't right. look like a human
that's
heart.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
So why is it that what we call the heart shape? It looks nothing like okay. the human heart. Okay. What?
Does it have anything to do with it being a symmetrical design that could be like two things together?
I haven't read this, so let's find out.
All right. We take the journey together.
Yeah, there are several theories, but two most common ones involve the extinct silphium plant and the philosopher Aristotle.
I thought so.
So you probably never heard of the silphium plant. It was popular among the Romans and Greeks who used it as food seasoning, cough syrup, and a contraceptive. Really?
Wow. It's not only a cough syrup, it's a condom.
Yeah. They used it for contraceptive so much that they harvested it into extinction in the first century AD.
And they were banging their brains out.
Some historians say that the seed pod of the silphium plant looks like the heart shape that we use to represent love today. Well, as the Greeks and Romans probably used the silphium plant to represent love and sex at that time, its seed pod became the universal symbol of love. So it might be that.
All right.
But it's extinct, so we don't know for sure.
Okay, so that's we're looking at the plant right now. It does look like the depiction of a heart.
I guess it's a heart.
And I guess hanging below it are its testicles.
Yeah.
There's two things that look looks like a nutsack hanging from the bottom of it.
Other historians believe that we use the heart shape for love because Aristotle and a writer named Galen described the human heart as a three-chambered structure with a small dent in the middle. Artists and scientists in the Middle Ages supposedly created the first heart symbol when they tried to draw the heart from the description in ancient books. So, I don't know. I always thought they just kind of cut people open in the Middle Ages and rooted around
right.
in their butts.
Ripped them out, mummified them, did all that crazy stuff. Sacrificed them.
All right, why are light bulbs round?
Why are light bulbs round?
Yeah, the first light bulbs were spherical. Today's light bulbs are not spherical, but they still maintain a teardrop shape just like their predecessors. That is, they are slimmer at their base and wider at the center with a pointy tip. Early light bulbs were spherical because they produced light using filaments placed at their centers. A sphere is the most practical shape that allows a bulb to evenly deliver light across a certain area.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. Modern LED
I believe that.
And compact fluorescent lamp bulbs are not spherical but maintain the teardrop shape because makers want to stay with the tradition. So that's the only reason.
Also, when those LED lights and those other lights came onto the market, when they were able to mimic the soft yellowish light, they became more popular. Remember when they first started coming out with those lights, they had a very antiseptic, almost blue hue to them?
Yeah, it was not comforting.
No.
And especially when you would see them compared to the other regular filament bulbs.
Didn't like them.
It just didn't. Yeah, but they've come a long way.
Hey, side note, are you supposed to throw light bulbs away when you're done or do they get recycled? Does anybody know?
You're supposed to put them in a box and put them on your neighbor's lawn?
No, you're not supposed to do that.
I don't think you're supposed to put them in the trash, right?
No, you're actually, there's all sorts of instructions
really?
To go with those things. Oh, yeah. Yes, there's a whole, like if it breaks, you're supposed to go, basically call like a hazmat unit over to the house and there's
The mercury ones.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Not the LED ones.
I don't know what you're supposed to do with those either, though. I brought in batteries this week because we have recycling of batteries here with our engineers because you're not supposed to throw those away either. Yeah.
Huh. Here, I'm reading this article. Energy efficient light bulbs are a type of fluorescent lamp and can be recycled at local recycling centers. Older style incandescent bulbs aren't recyclable and should be thrown away in your rubbish bin.
Which ones do you throw off the roof?
Those are the long tube fluorescent
those
lights.
Those are awesome.
I had a buddy of mine's dad when I was a kid had owned a car lot, and for some reason they had all these in the back. They had thrown away a bunch of old fluorescent light bulbs. Man, we played lightsabers with those things.
Oh, it's like 40-year-old virgin.
Dude, it was awesome. Were they doing that in 40-year-old virgin?
Yeah, so they're on the loading dock, and they're fighting. And he cracks one across his legs. He goes, oh, man.
Yeah, we did the same thing when I was a kid.
And that's got to be good for you.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, it's only chemicals.
Oh, dude, one time when I was a kid, I found a thermometer on the on the playground.
Mercury.
I always wondered what was inside that thermometer.
Oh, boy.
So I broke it open.
Tastes good.
Ah.
Did you?
I ended up getting like a sore on my hand.
So you touched it?
Yeah, of course. I didn't know what was in there. Yeah, right. Like, what is that silver stuff? And I guess that was some the mercury, you know, irritating my skin.
Yeah.
So,
it's crazy. There was a case, or it would happen. They would, you know, with the old style mercury thermometers in your mouth. Occasionally, some kid would chomp onto it, or yeah. So it's supposed to be an issue.
So like Lowe's and Home Depot and big box hardware stores, they have containers and you can recycle there. So you could bring in your bulbs
right
to places
the
like that.
Center.
Yeah, yeah.
We end up, I've only done this a couple of times, but, you know, they have hazardous waste collection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Locations and dates. Problem is they only do them like once a quarter or something like that. And there's no like, hey, bring your stuff here. At least I can't find you. You know, bring your stuff here anytime.
Well, we do it here like once a year with old electronics or whatever. And I do bring my batteries here.
Well, our sponsor, who does
Armor Metal and Recycling?
Yeah, don't they? I think they handle some of that.
I'm not sure if they do.
They seem pretty comprehensive.
I'm not sure, but I had a hard time finding anything in my area.
You just put it in a bag and throw it in the woods?
But we have like we have like cleaners and spray paint, you know, like half used cans of spray paint that you're never going to use again. I've got loads of them.
Oh,
you put them in your neighbor's trash.
If you have paint, do you know of any side roads that people don't use a lot?
Stop it. I did just recently do, though, Steve, getting rid of latex paint.
Yeah.
Because I had gallons and gallons and gallons, and some of it going back to 2006.
You have to dry it out. You have to, we put sand in the containers.
Cat litter is what
I use. Yeah, yeah. And so, then you eat it.
You got to open them up. You don't eat it. And then you pour cat litter in it. And you were telling me mainly it's not for recycling purposes. It's so it doesn't make a mess in the trash truck.
In the trash trucks. Yeah. So I got a bin, actually, from J.P. Mascaro, you know, the big dumpster.
Yeah.
And they dropped it off. And, that's part of the deal. So they have very specific instructions. But I got rid of a lot of it.
Okay. All right. Let me move on to some other shapes. Why common everyday items are shaped the way they are. The football is by far the most interesting one. I shouldn't have led with that.
Oh, man, that's the money shot?
That was kind of, I think, I haven't read all of it here, but that was
kind of... Maybe you have a killer shape coming up that we're not even aware of yet.
Why are coins round?
Why are coins round?
I don't think this one's going to be too interesting.
Well, little do you know.
The earliest coins came in different shapes and sizes, ranging from rectangles to circles with holes in the middles.
Yeah, you're right.
The year...
You're out.
I'm sorry to disappoint you, Steve. The year in which the first coin appeared remains disputed, even though historians
propose a round coin.
Agree that it was sometime around the 6th and 5th centuries. Greek historian Herodotus wrote that the first coins were produced in Lydia, which was in today's western Turkey.
Turkey.
Herodotus added that the coin was made with electrum, a naturally occurring alloy of gold and silver. One account says that the coins were
oval. What's Wolverine made out of?
He's adamantium.
Okay.
One account said that the coins were oval, while another claims that they were rectangular, which is true. They were clearly not circles. The Greeks and Romans later jumped on the coin fad. However, they made their coins round to prevent fraud. Coins of the day were made of valuable metals, and it was quite common for people to chip their corners off. And they called this coin clipping, and it was illegal and reduced the value of the coin.
So they had counterfeit coins back then.
Yeah.
That's why the barter system has always been so attractive, because it's hard to counterfeit a chicken.
Yeah, the Greeks and Romans created the round coin because it could be quickly spotted if it had been clipped.
Yeah.
So
when people say, I
clipped it.
I clipped your cash.
Yeah.
I wonder, were they clipping it so that they would have more of that precious metal to... You know what I mean?
Yeah, and eventually melt down and make another coin, probably.
We're looking at old coins here, Preston, that have sort of ridges in the side.
Yeah, that's a coin that's been clipped, I guess.
A clipped coin.
Or I don't know.
Or as we call it, a CC.
These square coins are cool.
Yeah.
I'm looking
desperately
at the
looking for something to be interested about. these coins are pretty interesting.
Would you, Kathy, or Jace ever collect coins?
No.
I mean, like, if Jace got into it, would you then...
Yeah, if it added up to, like, $1 million, of course. Yeah.
What about the state quarters?
No. Right. I, you know what? When I was a kid, I did start to collect quarters, and then I gave up, and Christopher took it up, my brother, and he collected, like, he had so many quarters.
Yeah. It's horribly boring.
It's so boring.
It's horribly boring.
How do machines like parking meters know the difference between a quarter, a nickel, a dime, a quarter and like a Canadian quarter.
Yeah, ask other machines.
Okay, so they're talking.
they're the receptacle that oh you, that knows. Like
well,
some machines won't take a different coin. But
you can jam up the machine if you put a different coin in it.
But what if I put in like the Canadian version of a quarter?
It'll say thank you, eh?
but like vending machines of yore, you could put nickels, dimes, quarters,
plugs. They used to call them. You could take. Remember, they call them plugs. You could put them in.
Case that's. You know what? Here's what I'm going to guess. Okay, so the coin probably goes down a slot. The slot has different size openings.
Yes.
With the largest one being the last opening.
Mm-hmm.
So it will drop into whatever slot it fits into first.
Is there a weight element?
I don't know.
Because I'm not...
The smallest coins...
What do you want from me?
Yeah, get off my back.
Well, no.
The smallest slot would be the bottom slot because the large quarter would hit first and get caught.
Yeah, but you wouldn't know. The largest
Clink.
The largest would be last because a dime might actually fall into the quarter one if it were first.
Well, you know if the largest one is at the bottom,
yeah.
Hmm.
I gotta see how one of those things works.
How do you stop? Would that work?
Yeah, because the like a quarter would roll over the size of a hole for a dime mm-hmm. and a nickel, and then eventually get to the quarter and fall in.
I think the quarter would fall. Huh. I don't know. Let me think about that.
Okay. But that's my theory, Case.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's probably something called the internet that you could absolutely find out the legit story on that.
Can you Google that?
I guess that's your
Here we go. We're looking at how it works here. We have the innards
there's even a video.
Of a machine, and we're seeing a quarter go through. It's being scanned by a laser beam. That's contacting the atomic clock.
I don't know.
It's sending back data.
There's lasers.
Through a modem. There's a central coin bureau, Preston. They're contacting. Yeah, so it takes about 25 minutes.
One last thing on this list of explanations of the shapes used for everyday things, okay? Last thing. Sugar cubes. Why cubes?
Why cubes? Here's the home run you've been waiting for. Why cubes?
Sugar used to be sold in tall, hardened cones called sugar loaves.
I'd like a sugar cone, please.
There's a band called Sugar Loaf.
Sugar Loaf.
Yeah.
And Sugar Walls is a Sheena Easton song about your vagina.
It is. People went through quite an ordeal to get sugar ready for tea. Users first had to break the sugar apart with hammers or mallets that had chisels.
I think I have an idea.
What?
The increased surface area for the sugar to dissolve when putting it into coffee.
It says later someone came up with the pliers-like sugar nippers.
That's a band name, too.
How you doing, Sugar Nipper?
Hi, we're the Sugar Nippers.
Come here, Sugar Nippers.
Come on.
Get you fired.
To cut the hardened sugar into lumps, users who preferred granulated sugar shattered the lumps with a mortar and pestle or spice mill. Some just saved themselves all the trouble and inserted the whole cone into their cup of tea. Part of it melted into the tea. They dried the rest for future use. Lucky buyers... could also purchase already broken sugar into lumps, which is sold by weight.
Well, I must be the luckiest man on earth. I purchased broken sugar.
The whole problem with sugar came to a head in the 1840s when Juliana Rad sliced her finger while cutting sugar.
Oh, dear.
Juliana was the wife of Jacob Christoph Rad, who owned a sugar mill.
You're so rad.
She complained to Jacob, asking why he could not make sugar that would fit in a cup and save people all
the
trouble.
I don't know. Why do you never give me handies? We two can play this game.
This made Jacob invent the first press that made sugar into cubes. So it was because she cut her finger and asked her husband about it.
Why?
He created
Why don't we have children?
And therefore you now have the sugar cube. And still, to this day, since 1840, we have sugar cubes.
Do you like the sugar packets that are long tubes where you tear the end off?
Oh, yeah. I do.
Yeah.
I do. They pour out better.
They do pour better.
Yeah. What about you?
I do.
Okay.
Oh, I do.
Yeah. Used one of those last night while we were at the Rittenhouse. So anyhow, just thought I'd enlighten you amongst those
things. We've learned a lot about shapes.
Here we go. Fred has an answer to your coin thing, Casey.
All right.
Hi, Fred. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good. What's up, man?
So I heard Case talk about the weight issue.
Yes.
Coins. I'm originally Canadian. So I know that the Canadian coin weighs a little less than the American coin.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how it knows the difference in the machine too.
The weight.
The weight, yeah. There
it's
is
by weight, not by the size or ridges or anything of the nature. It's the actual weight of the coin itself.
Yeah.
All right. And so you drop a Canadian coin in an American vending machine that doesn't take Canadian currency. It will jam up the machine, won't it?
Well, usually it drops down into
Does it drop down into the Canadian pit?
It'll pass it through because it knows the difference.
It'll pass it through, and it goes in the little coin, little change receiver. So you put it in, and it goes right through.
Doesn't it go to a little chute that fires it over the Canadian border?
Dude, how awesome.
Don't stand there. That's where the Canadian coins come out.
There's one GPS location that they haven't pinpointed. Every single one is aimed to the same spot. And it flies across the border and lands right there. And they
it's a big pile of coins.
We give them back their coins. I would assume that they have the same issue with American coins in Canada as well. And a lot of times they'll end up...
It's their curse.
Yeah. All right.
Canadian coins are magnetic, but U.S. coins are not.
Oh.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Huh.
That's actually a good idea to have magnetic coins.
Yeah.
Because you could just stick them on the fridge.
Yeah, or when you drop them down into, an area you can't get them, you just have a little magnet on a little retractable.
Or put it in the vending machine, have it engage the machine, hold a magnet up to the coin slot, have the coin come back out and put it back in again for whatever.
I like it. Wow, interesting. Well, I thought it was weird to share some stuff like that. So.
Not everyone was a home run, but there were some good ones.
Yeah, I like the football one.
We did a lot of time on the coins.
Yeah, we did. It's what we do.
Right. Honestly, we know how to time manage.
I want to give a $25 gift card to Xfinity Live away right
Why
now.
Why do they need it?
They don't need it.
Oh, for us to have four.
For you, to a listener. So caller 15, I will set you up with that. 215-263-WMMR. Keep in mind, today, Lorenzo and Sons Pizza and Blue Moon Bar open.
So cool.
At Xfinity Live, the first starting at 10 a.m., the first 100 people get a free slice of Lorenzo's. And a free Blue Moon beer while they last.
I would have to imagine there's going to be a couple of pictures taken of the first person, too.
Yeah.
Right? Wouldn't you want to do that?
Yeah.
But when you get over there, and Preston, you pointed this out, the menu, one item. And what is that one item?
Giant slice of pizza. It's all they sell. You'll want to go by there and see that today. So we're going to take a break. We'll take caller 15. We'll set you up. Come back in a moment. We'll get comedian Ian Edwards in our studio. Stay there.
So much rock coming to BB&T Pavilion in August, we're calling it MMR's first rock residency. Featuring 9 killer rock concerts in August. Listen for free tickets and great grand prizes.
This week it's tickets to Skynyrd's Last Stand, Slipknot and Volbeater at the Knotfest Roadshow, plus your shot at the Santana Grand Prize VIP package, including limited edition lithograph, merch, and more.
Check WMMR.com for a complete list of concerts and grand prizes with some of your favorite bands. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. Rock with us this August at BB&T Pavilion. It's our rock residency. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
All right, thanks, Kath. Our next guest is going to be calling Philly home for the next couple days because he's going to be at Helium tonight, tomorrow, Saturday as well. And you can get your tickets now at heliumcomedy.com. Ladies and gents, this is Ian Edwards.
Yay!
Hey, what's up, y'all?
How you doing, Ian?
I'm good.
Nice to see you, man.
Nice to see you, too. Kathy, you just killed traffic. You murdered it.
Thank you.
Bodied traffic.
People are perpetually amazed at Kathy's ability to rip through the traffic, though it's exactly the same every day.
Yeah, I wish traffic was that fast.
Yeah,
she just did that.
We were talking. We were just talking.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Yep. We had Peter Fonda passed away, a few days ago,
and we
played back a portion of the interview that we had with him, and he was fascinated by her doing the traffic
that's
over there.
Pretty impressive, yeah. Like I'm scared to I grew up being afraid to read in front of the class.
Oh, okay.
And I'm watching her. That's just murdering it.
Right.
And then you got to go up after that. Oh, boy.
No, you'll be fine.
There was this kid in my social studies class, and I always felt horrible because at that time, we'd get picked on to called upon to read in class. And when he would read, literally, his voice, he was terrified to do it in front of him. I felt so bad. Were you that bad?
Yeah. I mean, I could get through it, but the nerve to do it, and it's just...
Look what you do now, though.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, that's...
I'm terrified to do this. I didn't say I got over it.
Okay. He's right in the throes of it.
I'm sorry. Did I create the illusion that I was... You should come see me tonight like... Duh, 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 duh. It's just people laughing at me struggling.
I don't want to go out there. Oh,
well, I mean, it's got to be hard because we don't know you. You don't know us. You have no idea like where we're going to lead our questioning and how the conversation's going to go. But, I mean, you're no stranger to this. I mean, you sit down with Rogan. You have your own podcast. Podcast. So, like, how does this differ than what you do with, you know, people that you know?
Well, I don't, like, I looked at your wall before I came in, and I'm like, I got to be the least famous guest you ever had in here, so I apologize.
No. If it's any comfort, we took down the Polaroid of Jared from Subway.
Oh,
so,
oh yeah, my God. Yeah.
I mean, he's still more famous than me.
No. It's funny because sometimes we'll get people on, you know, Rogan will come on and there's a different pentameter for a podcast, and we're doing, you know, but it's the same thing. I remember it was Mitch Fatel came in one time and he started doing the podcast, and he goes, "What you guys do?" Because we're on for almost 5 hours,
right?
And he appreciates it. But the truth of the matter is, it's. I remember when the notion first came out. Do you remember this, Preston? A podcast. We'll do the show as a podcast. It's just an extended MP3 file. Is all it is.
Yeah, exactly.
But people are still, you know, they're still blown away by it. Now you do something. You're a big soccer fan.
Yeah.
And I was checking out your Twitter page, and you do a whole bunch of you have a whole bunch of like minded soccer fans. And what you do is explain what you do, because it's very popular, but it's got to be a hyper focused audience.
It's a hyper focused audience. Like, I have a podcast which is like a safe space for people who are into soccer. Like, you can talk about it and not get beat up by people who are into all the other sports. You know what I mean?
Are you finding more converts now, like with the American, with women's soccer team? And because, like, here we have the Union, and they're doing very well.
Right.
And it's always perplexed us, Ian, how parents routinely take their kids to soccer practice and all that stuff, and it's had this uphill battle to become a popular sport here in the States.
The reason why soccer is not big in America, because America didn't invent soccer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You got sports that you invented that you're curating and taking care of.
Right.
And then this thing comes kind of from out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And then you're like, I can kind of see that. It's growing. Like my podcast is about like the Premier League, which is the English league.
Right.
And it's like they show it here on NBC Sports and all that.
Well, so here in the States, it's tough because it's like, all right, well, how do the sponsors end up working their way in there? Because there aren't a whole lot of commercial breaks. It's just, you know, running clock the entire time. So I've heard that the uphill battle really is like, all right, well,
how to get it paid for?
How do we get it paid for? How do we televise this if you know, we can't run commercials or as many commercials as, let's say, a football game or you know, a baseball game where there's, okay, we're, you know, every 15 minutes we're going to break and run some commercials. So,
baseball game, it's like 3 days long, so you could just show commercials.
Yeah. And not only that, right behind the batter is always like a chroma keyed advertisement banner that they keep rotating through.
Well, they do that in soccer now.
Oh, they got that going on?
And then maybe at the top left-hand side of the screen, there's something there.
Yep. Yeah.
And it's always changing. So they found ways.
But they're figuring it out.
They're figuring it out, yeah.
So I assume you played soccer growing up, and you probably play as an adult now. Is that the case, or you just always been a fan, and that's it?
Played, always been a fan. Uh-huh. I kind of quit now. My knees were like, hey, man, we're out. We're not doing this.
He tapped out.
Yeah, grow up.
Because I always hated soccer. I always had the, like, the meathead mentality.
Right in my face.
But so I had that stupid meathead mentality. Football, football, football. And then my roommate in college played for the college team. And then subsequently all of my friends ended up playing for that team. So I ended up watching those guys. But those guys in particular, they get up early on Saturday or Sunday mornings and they'll make their way to some sort of bar. I have friends that are from Ireland and England. They do the same thing. Do you do that too?
Yeah, actually, I've done
it's
that.
Probably not. It's even earlier for you.
It's earlier. Like I'm a comic, so if I'm in L.A.
Yeah.
And the first game comes on 4:30 in the morning. So if I get home 2 in the morning from doing a show,
I
have a choice. Like, stay up or try to sleep for only 2 hours and wake up and watch it.
I would shotgun it. Yeah, shotgunning is probably the best way to go. You were born in Jamaica?
England.
England. And then you moved to New York?
I moved to Jamaica when I was like 9 years old, and then moved to New York when I was like 17.
Okay, so yeah. it's been a protracted thing. Mm-hmm. So in the beginning, you started doing, were you doing more comedy writing initially?
No, I was doing stand-up, and stand-up led to comedy writing.
Right.
And then kind of took over. Or I was always doing stand-up, but not on the level of other comics who are just always constantly on the road. Like, I could stay in L.A. and then make not as much money doing stand-up because my writing would, like, kind of pay for my stand-up.
Right, you know right. What I mean? You were part of Black Dynamite, the animated series.
Yeah, yeah.
Which
yeah.
I love. Michael Jai White, right?
Yeah. We had him in here.
He was yeah. great. He was, and no one, I never knew the dude had a sense of humor and that, you know,
oh, yeah.
that was part of the deal. That had to be a lot of fun working on that series because I love the blaxploitation era of movies, and that's right. that's a love letter to that stuff.
Yeah. It was a fun show to work on. And, you know, with animation, you can do so many things. And Michael Jai White's voice, and then you could just animate it and do anything with it. And we approached a lot of topics from back then and now and applied them to back then.
That's cool.
So it's pretty cool, yeah.
When you write, even though everything's animated and they can just create what you're going to be writing, mm-hmm. are there limitations as to the, you know, because I know you have to pay for the animation, obviously. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, is there, you know, were there limitations? They just said, whatever you want, go for it.
The funny thing about animation, we got it animated in Korea.
Yeah, a lot of companies do that, right?
Yeah. So we had to send a guy over there who's been doing animation long enough for him to learn Korean. He's black.
Wow.
So he goes there to communicate, like, facial expressions and stuff that they don't get over there.
That's okay. Wild.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So he'd be like, no, draw the face like this. And they're like, you know, whatever their voice sounds like.
because it doesn't necessarily translate.
Yeah, it doesn't necessarily translate to their culture or their reactions or just, like, maybe sarcasm and stuff like that.
Right.
So I forgot the name of the guy, but he would always go live in Korea for like 2 months while he were animating everything.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I was again on your going through your Twitter page, and TMZ caught up to you.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
I have a question about that because we know about the TMZ reporters who are like photographers, and they seem to be staked out all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
They seem to just come across you in a parking lot,
right?
And they ask you about coffee. Uh-huh. Do they just hang out there? Do they get a tip? You're there. How are they everywhere?
Listen, I'm gonna de-glamorize that
please,
whole thing.
Please,
I know that guy.
Oh, get out!
He's a comic.
Yeah. There you go. Because looks like they just caught you getting out.
I said, hey man, my special is coming out.
You guys just texting each other, and
I text him. He's like, maybe we'll see.
Yeah.
But then in L.A., they had billboards about the special, like with me on billboards.
Yeah,
so it's
yeah.
like, he's like, all right, yeah, we'll do it.
Because you know it seemed valid enough.
Because it's valid enough. It's
right.
just like they had like 40-something billboards around town
yeah.
with my face staring down at traffic. So then it was just easy to get on. And then billboards don't do anything to move the dial.
Yeah.
But I have an ex-girlfriend who's engaged, so I know at one point,
yeah.
while those billboards were up, her and her fiance were in the car looking
all
up
right.
at my billboards.
So, there you go.
So I was like, yes.
Yeah.
Like,
we always so
when they asked me, do you want billboards, I said yes.
They yes. were talking about billboards for our show, and they always talk to our billboards, and we said, the billboards don't get people to listen to the show. They just validate to the people who listen to the show that you're worthy of a billboard.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
yeah.
Yeah, and mine validated the doubt in my ex's head
right.
when she's sitting next to her fiance.
That's got to be cool.
Yeah.
You worked with Keenan Ivory Wayans too. I remember he had a short-lived talk show.
Yeah,
and it sort of became the bane of. I remember the reading about it. I don't know if this is true, but he like they weren't giving him any. As I recall the story, they weren't giving any creative control, and there was a lot of like tumult and stuff behind the scenes.
Uh-huh.
And was that the case? Because it was. He went into it wanting it to be something. I remember reading all about it, and it sort of became sort of a legend in its own right. Was that a difficult show to work on? Because he's great. We love right. him.
That was my first job.
Yeah.
And the hours were, like, crazy. Like, you'd have to get there, like, 10 in the morning, and I'd stay there till, like, midnight. I was just learning how to write. I didn't know completely. I knew how to write some things.
Yeah.
But it's, like, a process of getting paid to learn, but you have to deliver or you get fired.
Because you're doing the absolute grunt work. You're doing, and I know because they made a big push on this because he's a super talented guy.
Right.
Could you sense that he wasn't happy?
There were moments you could definitely sense that. Like, especially one day, this one comic, he was struggling at the job. He wasn't getting anything on the show.
Right.
So then he came up with a joke based on the news. And he told, we'd have to go into the office to pitch to Keenan. And I think his name is Al Cleveland. So he pitched this joke and Keenan loved it. And he's like, I'm going to use that in the monologue. And Al felt relaxed and comfortable. You know, ooh, I got something off. And then later on in the day, they realized that the facts of the joke were wrong.
Okay.
Like, he used, like, it was something to do with Janet Reno and Janae Reno, the actress. And he mixed them up.
Oh.
But if the other way around, the joke works. But the truthful way, it doesn't work. So then Keenan, they had to take it out the monologue.
Oh.
Right? So then that night, I'm staying at work. It's my first job. I'm Jamaican. We got this, like, hard-working work ethic where you just stay last at least.
Yeah.
Even if you're not doing anything, I'm just typing. And me and Al shared an office, and they came in after Al had left and started packing up his stuff.
Wow.
You know what I mean? I was like, what are you doing? And he's like, he's fired. And I'm like, all right. So then the next morning, I'm the first one there. You know, I'm writing. Al's empty desk is over there.
Oh, man.
And then Al comes in. And I'm like, what is he doing here? Didn't they call him and tell him he was fired? They forgot to tell him he was fired.
Oh, my God.
And so he comes in and sees his empty desk. And then he's looking at me.
Oh, man.
And I'm like, hey, man, you got to go talk to him.
Oh, man.
It's brutal.
Yeah, it's brutal.
It's brutal.
So if you're doing those long days, because I read here that you like to take naps. I'm a nap guy.
Yeah.
Were you able to sneak in a nap on those long days?
Not. Okay, get the threat of getting fired.
Yeah.
Is coffee, you know what I mean?
It'll
keep you up. Yeah.
We talk about, because we're all massively fascinated with the lore of SNL and all the legendary, but you know, everybody we've ever talked to, when they come in on the writer side, they just beat you up. That's because you're turning out content constantly, and then you have to have it reviewed, and getting on is the tough thing,
right?
So with, you've written for a lot, you were on Punked for a while, right? You were a cast member.
You're a cast member.
Were you doing any writing on that as well? Was that the Ashton Kutcher?
That was the Ashton Kutcher thing. No writing on that. Like,
okay.
I just went to an audition, and that was a fun audition. Like, a few weeks before that audition, like, I have two friends that book a lot. Like, back in the day, I used to hang out with Kevin Hart a lot.
Yeah. You wrote on his series,
On his series, yeah. So I was like, how do you book things? And he just tell me, like, you just go in there, you make it your own, and blah, 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 blah. And I asked J.B. Smoove the same thing. And, like I'm hanging out with these people, but I never asked them their technique or their philosophy on things. So, and I asked them. And then that Punked audition came up. And I just basically used their idea of how to book things. And I booked that show in the room that day. Like, they gave us a bunch of improv scenarios.
Right.
And I was just like, I just was just talking, just loose, just talking, just being me. And then they were like, they sent me out the room. Then they'd send some people home, call you back in the room with the people that they kept, send people out, come back.
It's a process, man. That's another brutal thing. Was Dax Shepard that time on the?
No, he was gone by then.
He was gone by then.
Yeah. But he is one of the people that made that show famous. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, do you know Ashton? Do you get invited? You and Mila and Ashton hanging out together?
No. You don't need it. Yeah. So we do have stuff in common. Yeah, cool.
I wanted to ask, and I have to see it just doing the research on you. There's a mockumentary you starred in. It's called Toyganic.
Oh, yeah.
And it looks like it's a parody of Raising the Titanic. Is that... Explain what this is about, because it looks hilarious.
It's so long ago, I can't remember this.
Is that the general gist of it, though? That it's a faux documentary?
Hey, it might be.
You don't remember.
No, I don't. Because I only did...
The poster looked hilarious.
I did one scene in it.
Yeah.
And it was so long ago. But one of the writers/producers, she was a writer on Black-ish, and I wrote on Black-ish.
Yeah.
So then, you know, I'm sharing an office with her. Like, I'm terrible at auditions usually.
Right.
But she's seeing me in the room, like, crack jokes and stuff like that. And she produced it, so she put me in there. Name is Gail Lerner.
So that's important. You gotta, and as you talk about a Jamaican work ethic, you say yes to everything, and then eventually it pays off because somebody who works on Black-ish hires you. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And then, what else? Like, friends from college. Like, I wrote on that show, and they gave me a role in the room on that show.
Wow.
So what was your role?
Played Skull.
I don't remember. That was a great
show. Did you see season two?
Yeah, yeah. I watched both.
Remember the funeral?
Yes.
I.
Oh, you one of the guys jumping off the building?
Yeah, one of the base jumpers. I'm standing right in front of you, Nick.
Sorry.
Maybe you don't recognize me without my base jumping clothes.
That's what it was.
But thanks for being one of the two people that watched the show, man.
Kathy watched it too.
Kathy? Kathy, you don't recognize Skull?
Oh, my God.
Jesus, that's so weird.
Were in the car.
She's embarrassed. Now she's embarrassed.
That was a great show. Yeah. And I never understand why great shows, especially on Netflix, get canceled, because it would seem to me that there'd be room for them.
That's funny. Everybody says that about that. I didn't know how many people watched that show until it got canceled.
Yeah.
People's like, why did they cancel that show? I'm like, you watched it? Why is it off?
Yeah, when one of the stars is asking why.
That's probably a problem. Well, listen, Ian's in for a few days. Like I said, you got one show tonight and then Saturday and Sunday. Friday and Saturday, 7:30 and 10 p.m. You can go to heliumcomedy.com and get your tickets. So we hope you enjoy your time while you're in Philly, man.
Yeah, I'm going to walk around a lot, check out the place.
Cool.
You know, it's Philly's Philly. Every East Coast city, I'm from New York, so it feels like, you know, feels New Yorkish.
I love it. I mean, I'm from New York years ago, and it's got a lot. Maybe not as much, but you can get to it and use it. So that's cool.
Yeah, cool. Yeah.
All right, we'll enjoy. Ian, nice meeting you, man.
Thank you, brother.
Yep, appreciate it. Ian Edwards, guys. Yeah. HeliumComedy.com to get your tickets. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay there.
The Preston and Steve Show Podcast. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Thanks, Kath. Let's take another stab at these Bizarre File stories.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, and the B-File this morning is brought to you by Chorus Photography. Chorus makes you look good even when your life choices don't. And you can visit them at chorusphotography.com. It depends on how many stories I go through, but this might be an all wildlife bizarre file.
Any castration in this one?
No castration.
All right.
But there is something creepy living at the lake at Skytop Lodge in Monroe County, Pennsylvania.
We don't go up to Skytop Lodge.
It is called a jelly brain.
A jelly brain.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a monster?
That's why I brought this up. The colony of moss animals is harmless, but the gooey blobs caught the attention of guests and naturalists during a weekend tour. The walking trail at Skytop Lodge is peaceful, but get down to the water and you might glimpse something creepy lurking in the lake. They look like a glob of fish eggs, and people get excited.
Visitors to Skytop Lodge always have a great time, and then they meet
jelly brains.
And this is according to, I guess, somebody who works there says, they say, look how big it is.
What is it?
It's actually thousands of small invertebrate creatures that live in harmony together. Mm. The cluster is called a bryozoan, and it's also called jelly brains.
Jelly brains.
Rick Koval is the naturalist at the Skytop Lodge, and he was leading a guided tour over the weekend, and the group came across jelly brains in the lake.
Who wants to see the jelly brain?
Lodge. Lodge volunteer.
Oh, Rick and his jelly brain. Go with him.
Lodge volunteer Ron Dickey pulled out his cell phone.
Ron Dickey, my good friend.
And shot some video of the creepy encounter. He says to me, you want to feel or hold it? So I put both my hands
out. Squeeze it and lick it.
And it was heavy, very dense. It was weird. It was cold. I shouldn't say this, but liver. Yeah, raw liver. It was that kind of texture, said Dickey.
How big is it, Preston?
The jelly brains. You know what? I don't know, Steve. I'm not really sure.
Is it veiny and purple at the end?
It might be.
It looks about the size of a football.
Okay.
I'm seeing some photos. And listen, this headline says it fell from the sky and landed in Pennsylvania. I don't know if that's a joke or if that actually is.
I don't know.
The end is purple.
Lend some credence to Casey's theory that tadpoles can come from the sky and land in
in a lake?
Not really sure.
Oh, I don't like this jelly. Well, the jelly brain looks about the size of a...
Like a human brain?
A human brain.
Yeah, okay. Two teenagers were caught off guard when a bear made its way into their vacation home. Teens Hayes Sherman and Bobby Harden of San Francisco were vacationing over the weekend.
Where the jelly brains at?
Where Hayes' family has a second home. And one night they heard a noise coming from the kitchen. A bear had come in through the open garage door.
I am famished.
A Nest security camera captured the late night visitor. At one point after the boys called 911, they said the bear tried getting into the room they were in. And meanwhile, he said, we still had to have to hold the door, barricade the door, and we had to remain quiet all through this traumatic situation. We have never been through anything more scary, Bobby said. Meanwhile, Hayes' mother...
Be very quiet or the bear will see you.
Hayes' mother, Susan, was upstairs and spoke with a dispatcher, and she said that she was told to ignore her her mama bear instincts.
There's a bear in the house.
There is.
That's when Deputy Allison Pereiro came to the rescue. She kicked the door open and got the bear to leave by firing a warning shot using a plastic bullet. They said that the bear got into the refrigerator and ate two cartons of Ben & Jerry's ice cream and left a little surprise on the living room carpet. So you not only eat the ice cream, you crap on the floor in the living room.
That's not right.
That is not right. So anyhow... they had an interesting encounter. How about this for an interesting encounter? A small rainforest raccoon-like creature ran into a Florida apartment and bit a man after he opened the front door to head to work. Oh. Yeah, the kinkajou bit the man's foot.
A kinkajou?
Yeah, scratched his
leg. I know those things.
Inside the Lake Worth Beach apartment, but did not seriously injure him. Witness Natalie Dulock said it sounded like a 300-pound man was tackling him in the kitchen.
By the way, fatso, if they ask, I'm a kinkajou.
Dulock said the furry mammal with sharp claws clung to the man's leg as he fought to get it out.
Wow.
The man managed to lock the long-tailed animal in the bathroom until wildlife officers arrived. Florida,
out of freaking nowhere.
Florida Fish and Wildlife Report said the kinkajou was taken to a wildlife facility. Officers didn't say where it came from. According to National Geographic, kinkajous are native to the tropical forests of Central and South America.
I'm not a practicing kinkajou.
Although many of their kinkajous features and traits resemble those of a primate, the kinkajou is related to the raccoon, believe it or not. Well, if a moose shows up for a party, you better have food on hand.
Why don't you forget the moose for a moment?
A family.
What do you feed a moose?
A family in Alaska was having a pool party in their backyard when a moose showed up. The human scattered as the animal drank
water. I know I sound like a bear, but I'm a moose.
The animal drank water from the pool, and then it stole a taco. Nobody was injured, and it seems the moose...
Turkey meat? Love it.
...eventually wandered off on its own, so...
They can kill people.
I'd never heard of a moose eating a taco before, but, you know, it is the bizarre fight.
Why don't you forget the moose?
We will.
For a moment.
For a moment. Authorities in Florida were called to a high school on Wednesday after a raccoon was spotted behind the glass of a vending machine. It got into the vending machine.
You know what happened? Uh-oh. A moose dared it to do it.
The Volusia Sheriff's Office shared photos of the incident on Facebook along with the caption, "This gentleman was apprehended today while committing a burglary of a vending machine at Pine Ridge High School." So the officers and animal control wheeled the vending machine outside, and they opened it up so the raccoon could get out of there. And that is all I have in the
bizarre file. Animals.
All and wildlife a moose. Version and a moose to boot. I have a $25 gift card to our friends at Xfinity Live to give to caller number 18 at 215-263. Don't forget that today... Lorenzo's and Sons opens up as well as the Blue Moon Bar at Xfinity. And in fact, they are now open. The first 100 people there.
Yes.
Get a free slice of Lorenzo's pizza and a free Blue Moon.
Do you know that all the pizza they brought in for us is gone?
Is it gone?
It's gone.
They brought in three pies, which of course are, you know.
Gone.
The size of a Mini Cooper.
It's like, what the hell happened?
They're gone. Unreal. All right, go get yours before it's gone, by the way, at Xfinity Live. We'll take a break and we'll be right back.
Love MMR?
Buy some gear. Check out the Rock Shop at WMMR.com. Snazzy.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Money, Money Boston's on MMR. And 10 minutes after 10, as we navigate this Thursday morning, man, Friday will be here. It'll before you know it.
And a great weekend.
Yeah, we do have beautiful weather in store for the weekend. It's going to be just 80 degrees tomorrow. But get past today, 93 or so, and humid conditions. And that'll be great this weekend, so enjoy that if you can. Today's lesson question, we give away tickets to see Jim Jeffries, who's going to be performing Saturday, October 5th at the Keswick Theater. This is for the 10 p.m. show, by the way. Let's go with, for our lesson question, footballs were originally made from pig bladders, and we learned that the first baseballs were made out of what animals? 215-263-WMMR. All right, footballs were originally made from pig bladders. And then we learned that the first baseballs were made out of which animals? 215-263-WMMR. If you know the answer, you should call. Just might win. We're going to do the trash while you're calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
And it's brought to you by the Philly Pops. Come together. Pops rocks the 50th anniversary of Abbey Road, November 8th, 9th, and 10th at the Kimmel. Tickets are on sale now at phillypops.org/Beatles. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, Justin Bieber and Hailey Baldwin, who are married legally, are following through with a full wedding and reception to take place on an estate in South Carolina. While many are saying Hailey is doing everything, Bieber defended his involvement, saying, quote, "We're going to have ice cream."
Oh, my God.
Larry King's wife, Sean, saying she will not fight his request for a divorce because he's old and frail. Sean says this is not the Larry King she first fell in love with, who is fragile and incontinent.
Hey!
Well, it's happening. Liam Hemsworth has officially filed for divorce from Miley Cyrus, who says she has become hoary and filthy. Hemsworth says this is not the Miley Cyrus he first fell in love with, who is slutty and disheveled.
And this is all righty then. We'll see if we can get an answer to this question. See if you know the answer to it. Footballs were originally made from pig bladders, and we learned that the first baseballs were actually made out of which animals? 215-263-WMMR. The number, and to the phones we go. It's Mike. Hey, Mike. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Hey, Mike, do you happen to know what animals baseballs were originally made out of?
I believe that was a living guinea pig.
Living guinea pigs, yes. You got it right, Mike. Hang on the line. For you, sir, we have a pair of tickets as MMR Rocks Jim Jeffries Saturday, October 5th at 10 p.m. at the Keswick Theater in Glenside. And some tickets remain for the early and late shows at AXS.com. Time for music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! You know what I love? Meat.
Ah. This morning it is brought to you by Dunkin'. It's pumpkin season at Dunkin', and you can enjoy the flavor of the season to its fullest with pumpkin-flavored coffee, donuts, and more. America runs on Dunkin'. Limited time only. Participation may vary. As I said earlier, I had some information concerning Dave Grohl and Queens of the Stone Age. But unfortunately, it's this. Dave has shot down rumors that he will make an appearance on the next album from Queens of the Stone Age. The reports of his involvement began circulating earlier this summer when Billy Gibbons of ZZ Top had said in an interview just 1 month ago, "I was making a record with Queens of the Stone Age, and Dave Grohl was also taking part, and he decided to have a big barbecue." But Dave denied that he plays on the LP, saying, "You know, I never effing mentioned that I'm on the new Queens record. I'm not on the new Queens record. You know what Josh and I have been doing together?
riding motorcycles, and eating waffles. That's it.
Well, that's not as exciting.
Dave said, I wish I was on the new Queens album. I effing love playing with Josh. He's one of my best friends, but at the moment, it's just motorcycles and waffles. Of course, Dave played drums on the band's 2002 album Songs for the Deaf and also contributed drums to five songs on 2013's Like Clockwork. Meanwhile, Dave Grohl has hinted that Foo Fighters could debut a new song at this weekend's Reading and Leeds Festival in England. Noting that it's the Foo's seventh appearance at the event, Dave said, we could bust out the same set that we played in 1995. We could come out on stage with new songs. We could come out on stage and do a chronological history of the band in reverse. It's just a matter of figuring out how to do it. So who knows? We'll have to wait and see. But there is a potential for what he said of some new music coming up. A determined Slipknot fan may have finally figured out the identity of Tortilla Man.
No!
The mysterious new percussionist in the band whose name has been kept a closely guarded secret.
So he thinks he knows who it is?
Yeah. After
John Stamos.
No, not John Stamos. After Slipknot guitarist Jim Root gave a recent interview in which he described Tortilla Man as a world-class pianist and a great percussionist who is schooled in music, Reddit user Les Conley did some digging and has now gone public with his findings. According to Conley, Tortilla Man is multi-instrumentalist Michael Pfaff, who played keyboards in Slipknot percussionist Sean Cran's side project Dirty Little Rabbits.
Hmm.
Pfaff was apparently introduced to Cran years ago by Slipknot DJ Sid Wilson. Pfaff has a similar build and height as Tortilla Man, and Redditors have found that Pfaff's family members are following hashtag Tortilla Man and other hashtags on social media related to the mystery musician.
So Pfaff's family follows?
That is some pretty good detective work there.
That is very good.
That is indeed
the Pfaffer.
Tortilla Man. Bad Wolves will release Killing Me Slowly, the first official single from the band's upcoming second album this Friday morning, and the track will arrive at radio stations about 9 a.m. Meanwhile, Bad Wolves have just shared a video for I'll Be There, the first song previewed from the upcoming LP. The group's sophomore studio effort is called Nation and is expected out before the end of the year, and it will follow up last year's debut, Disobey, of which they had the big Cranberry Zombie. They had a big hit with that.
It's wild because with the Tool album coming out the way it did, it's been a long time since, and there are fewer and farther between a full album coming out that generates excitement. Yep. You know, things are sort of parsed out a lot more.
Yep, you're exactly correct. And then one last thing, Ozzy Osbourne has spoken to Rolling Stone about his recovery from an injury he sustained while coming back from his recent bout of pneumonia. Ozzy fell at his Los Angeles home, aggravating years-old injuries from a 2003 ATV accident that required surgery. Ozzy said, for the first, say, 4 months, I was absolutely in agony. I was in agony beyond anything I ever experienced before in my life. He said it was awful. I'm taking physical and occupational therapy classes, but the progress is very slow, and they say that it's going to take at least a year.
So he obviously has issues with painkillers and has had addiction issues.
Yeah.
What does he do?
Don't know. He's hoping to be ready by January, he said. He had surgery on his spine and neck. Saying about his stay in the hospital, I cannot describe to you the helpless feeling that I had. I had to use a walker to go for a pee. I had to have nurses day and night. Just being in the hospital is enough to drive you nuts. I thank God I didn't paralyze myself when I had that accident. And I wouldn't be here now. I would have jumped off the effing roof or fell off the roof or whatever. Since his latest accident, he's developed blood clots in his legs and is now on blood thinners. He said, it's scary stuff. He said, from 40 to 70 was okay, and then suddenly you get a 70 and everything's caved in on me. He postponed all of his 2019 tour dates as a result of the fall. But he's on the mend, and he's doing better, supposedly. So
I meant to bring this up to you guys a while back, but he posted a photo on Instagram a week ago, and in that photo is one of our former Calendar Girls.
Yeah,
oh, wow.
Chersti.
Yeah.
She was a Eagles cheerleader for a bit. And
she's great.
After she was done being an Eagles cheerleader, she was in the Preston and Steve Totally Office calendar, and then she went on to be a dancer, I think with the Disney cruises and stuff like that. But Chersti was awesome, and she's in this photo with Ozzy, which is pretty cool.
I thought she was a singer.
Oh, man. No.
Dude, you're slipping.
No, she was a dancer.
Jinx, oh, my God!
Stop. Chersti's sister was also...
Yeah,
she was in a calendar.
Katie Ann.
Yeah.
Oh, she was the singer.
Right. No, she was a dancer. Jinx, oh, my God!
Stop. So Cher, Steve's sister. Yeah, okay. Yes. Yeah, now we know them all. A lovely family. Yeah. Yeah. All dance with Ozzy Osbourne. Of course, you know, he's the rock and roller.
Yeah, he's a singer,
he's
right?
He's a singer.
Why don't you?
He likes moose.
I had moved on. Just go with it.
No. She's a moose, right? No, she's a dancer.
Why don't you forget the moose for a moment?
Oh, my God!
Was that you, Steve?
Yeah, yeah.
It sounded like Gabby. All right.
Oh,
that's all I have in music news. We're going to take a break. Let me give away the last $25 gift card I have for Xfinity Live. Do I have one left?
You're literally holding it in your right hand.
Literally.
Oh, my God.
I was looking.
I saw you look.
I'm looking around the room. I'm like, where's the last one? Yes.
Who's the dead man who took my glasses?
It's right here in my hand.
It's all right.
We had a thing last night.
That Beasley Award ceremony wiped me out of last night. All right, let's take caller number 19 at 215-263-WMMR. I'll give you $25 Xfinity Live gift card, 215-263-WMMR. Don't forget that Lorenzo's 100, the first 100 people stop by today at Xfinity Live.
Yeah, bring us some.
Where the Lorenzo's has opened officially today. You get a Lorenzo's, and you also get a Blue Moon beer, because they have the Blue Moon bar that opens today as well. So you have to be at least 21 to get the beer. But first 100 people, they're going to be gone quick. So make sure you head by Xfinity Live for that. We're going to take a break. Be right back. Stay with us.
Here we go.
Here comes the MM Army.
What's going on?
Saturday from 11 to 1, Jackie Bam Bam rocks the customer appreciation event at City Auto Park, 4395 Route 130 South, Burlington, New Jersey, with music, games, prizes, and the absolute lowest deals on Dodge, Chrysler, and Jeeps. Visit DodgeChryslerJeepCity.com. Hang with Nick McElwain Saturday from noon till 2 at the grand opening of the Edge Fitness Club in Warrington, 100 Easton Road. Get founding member discounts when you join before they open, as low as $9.99 per month. Visit their preview center next to the club or EdgeWarrington.com to join.
93.3 WMMR. Everything and everywhere that rocks.
We were just talking about Ozzy on the men from Fall he had a while back, and brought up all those ATV issues he had a while back. So he's still trying to get better. Ozzy Osbourne, Black Sabbath, 93.3 WMMR, Paranoid. It is 10:30 on Thursday morning, the Preston and Steve Show. We got one more day to go broadcast-wise this week, and then we wrap up and head into a weekend. Hopefully got some good stuff planned. It's been fun today. Really enjoyed talking to Kate Flannery this morning.
Yeah.
Kate Flannery, good friend of the show, is a contestant on Dancing with the Stars. And that will start next month. And we are going to push for her to win.
We are going to hit that constantly. So we're going to call upon you to vote for Kate Flannery.
We're now going to be the Dancing with the Stars show.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yep. We're back to that now. So, but she was great. And she's excited to be a member of that. Thank you also to Ian Edwards, comedian. He's going to be at the Helium Comedy Club tonight, tomorrow, and Saturday. HeliumComedy.com to get your tickets. And thank you to our buddy Giuseppe of Lorenzo's for coming by today. And Tony from Xfinity Live. And they brought a bunch of pizzas, a bunch of Lorenzo's. But that got inhaled and is gone.
God,
who ate all of that?
I had half a piece. I think Connor said it just there was like a raid that came in from around the building.
Yeah. Well, Marissa ate one by herself.
Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
What were you going to say, Kath?
You figure it's still the same amount of slices, right? They're just enormous.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
I mean like eight slices,
It's only eight slices, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like a normal pie.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just 19 sizes bigger.
Yeah, exactly. So in each piece, each slice is about it's almost the size of a regular pizza that you would get.
It's crazy.
But anyhow, somebody ate all our pizza.
Gone.
Anyway, I don't know how they're doing down there at Xfinity, but the first 100 people starting a half hour ago got a free slice of pizza.
Somebody texted in, it's all gone.
Yeah, I don't know if that's the case or not, but anyhow, thanks to those guys for being by here today. It was nice. All right, we need to do our letter of the day. I have no idea what Bam Bam's story is.
He's not here yet, so I'll do
it. All right, let's do it. Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter...
By the letter P.
P as in Pierre Robert.
All right. I like it. Jackie made it in. All right. P, add that to the collection. It'll make a word. Tomorrow, we have a three-day VIP, a pair of three-day VIP passes for Keystone Comic-Con. You can geek out of Keystone Comic-Con August 23rd. That's tomorrow through the 25th, Pennsylvania Convention Center. And on the 25th, Tom Holland, star of Spider-Man Far From Home, will be there. Keystone Comic-Con is so much more than a Comic-Con. It's an exciting weekend for the whole family. You can get tickets at KeystoneCon2019.com/tickets. So we'll give that away tomorrow. How are you doing, Jackie?
I bought the waffle dust.
You bought the waffle dust?
You were talking about the waffles. You had the waffles. I bought the waffle dust. We all need a little bit of that.
Okay.
All right.
Wow. Did you snort the waffle dust?
No, it's the powdered sugar, Casey.
Oh, okay.
Not the booger sugar.
No.
What the hell are you talking about?
I heard Preston talking about Dave Grohl cooking up the waffles.
Yeah, got him going on waffle dust.
Nick, were you not paying attention to the music news today?
Waffle dust. Nick,
clearly my fault.
You were at the award ceremony with us last night. Did you stick around for the musical performances and whatnot? Or did you have to get out of there?
I did. I stayed a little bit later.
Cool.
Myself and Man About Town, Bill Weston.
Did you guys have a good time?
Yeah. What was the girl's... Callie Calbert or whatever.
Bubbles. Colby
Calais.
What was the big hit? We're sitting there going, is it Bubbles or Michael Bublé or something?
It's Michael Bublé. Yeah. Wait, no, it's called Bubbly.
That's her song or his song?
Yeah, no, her song is called Bubbly.
I got confused.
I was just, go have some waffle sugar.
Yeah. So we all need it, like you said.
No, it's called Bubbly. And she was there. There were some country artists and so on because they were, different formats in our company, and they had a few of them out.
They were talented. So one was really exceptionally good-looking, I understand.
Talented. Guys just owned that thing. You showed them what Philadelphia's about. That's the way to host an awards banquet.
Well, thanks. You know, it's great to see Debbie Calton got a special honorary thing from the company, and it was great. Got a bunch of flowers. She was totally surprised.
She's all crying, her little noontime nugget.
Yeah.
Is that her?
That's Bubbly, Colby Calais. All right, anyway, what do you got coming up on the show today, man?
Oh, that's right. We have
get your notes out.
Yep, where are they at? We have workforce blocks.
It's in his pants, so give him a minute.
Oh, my God.
Do you have pockets?
Yeah. Oh, here it is. It's down near my ankle.
It's by his ankles. It's in his stretch pants. Yeah. Hold on.
It ricocheted off his nutsack and headed down to his ankle.
Yeah, and you guys had to bring that up. What I wear to work.
I brought it up. Everyone laughed. They knew. They love you, but they know what you dress like a gypsy.
I hope you love Santana and the Doobie Brothers. What a perfect segue here. We have free tickets for that. We have Collective Soul tickets for Parks Excite Center, Pierre's Workforce Blocks today. We welcome Lenny Kravitz. Kravitz is in town playing the Met this evening, so we'll give you a concert warm-up. Lane Staley of Alice in Chains would have celebrated a birthday. It's also the anniversary of their debut album, Facelift, so we'll play a lot of that in our Workforce Block. And shares a birthday with... Press, am I saying this right? Roland Orzabal.
Yeah,
from Tears for Fears. Okay, you know it.
Tears for Fears is one of my favorite bands of all time.
All right, he's celebrating a birthday, and we'll do a workforce block of Tears for Fears, and a couple 80s metal bands released some albums today. L.A. Guns, Enough's Enough, and Rat. Maybe we'll just take a ride in my time machine.
All right.
Okay.
I love it. Thank you, Jackie Bam Bam. And I want to thank our sponsors, Preston and Steve Show, brought today by Dunkin', the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. And the Preston and Steve Show runs on Dunkin', also brought to you by French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville with everything you need for the great outdoors. French Creek Outfitters. Why take a chance with anybody else? And Drexel University. Gain confidence in the online classroom with Drexel University's test drive. Sign up at drexel.edu/test drive. Tomorrow, all you need to know is it's Friday.
Yeah.
That's all you need to know. Enough said. That's it. We are done. Rage on. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow again. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Pumpkin Spice. I love it. I really do. They're bringing it up in August. It's got to stop. Seriously. 8 o'clock in the morning and my balls are already swimming. Roll it out in October like you should. And then let it stick around till December and January. That way we can enjoy it when it's actually cold out.
Next message.
Hi, and welcome to this Wednesday. Wait a minute. It's Thursday. My day just got a little better! Yeah!
Next message.
It's 2019 and people still don't know the concept between the fast lane and the slow lane. Move the f*** over!
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.